You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
User joined your channel. User left your channel. User joined your channel.
Hi, everybody.
User joined your channel.
Here, October 1st, 2015. Almost 6 bells in the PM on the north shores of Lake Ontario in the media capital of Canada, Toronto. I'm here with my favorite Australian, Rollo.
I'm your favorite, am I? I wouldn't have thought so after my effort the other night.
Do you remember? Once again, because I noticed I was on the bad Bluetooth. Okay, let's start this over. I'm going to clip that. 2, 2, 1, take two. Hi, everybody. It's October 1st, 2015 on a Thursday. It is almost 6 p.m. I am dialing in from the north shores of Lake Ontario in the media capital of Canada, Toronto, here with my friend Rollo. Hi, Rollo.
How you doing, mate? Thanks for having me. Didn't think you'd have me back after my effort last time. I don't even remember. You were talking with Unreal and what was his name? Down in Florida there. His name already. I'm on brain.
All right. You have a free pass here. You have a free pass, much to the chagrin of some people, much to the excitement of others.
Well, you upgraded me that day.
I did. I hope you don't abuse it.
Oh, of course I won't. We've known each other long enough now, mate. But thanks for that.
Of course. No problem at all. You've been around long enough. You have a track record. You have a fan club. It's all good,
yeah,
mate.
I was just going to – there's a few things that I've got on my mind. Is there something you wanted to talk about specifically? Okay.
Well, I haven't talked about my first meeting with the fakeologist.
Oh, you met with Hoy.
Yes.
All
possibly
right.
The most famous fakeologist of them all.
Tell us about that. Come on. Everyone wants to hear about that.
Well, Hoy was pretty much as I expected. I've already seen him on Skype. He shares his video sometimes with me. So the face was no surprise. And hopefully that I met his expectations slightly, really. Because the face never matches the voice, of course. And Aeroporto, I dropped him off at a nice B&B. I tell you, that's the way to go, by the way. Airbnb, if you're single or even a double, is a quarter of the price of a hotel. Talk to real people that operate, usually, and they might help you navigate. And we spent half the day. He spent half the day with me working. And we talked the whole hours or so. Hours went by very quickly because a lot to talk about all the time. And very exciting.
Does he look
and
like
Hoy,
he does in that photo that we have of Simon and him? Does he still look the same?
I don't remember that photo you're speaking of, but
I should drop it into
Skype.
Drop it. Yeah, I'll send it to you on Skype. Oh, got it. Man, that sounds great.
It
so
was
6 fun. Hours you spent with him.
Got busy in the morning. I couldn't meet with him, and I had to pick him up around noon, and I dropped him around 6. And Hoy typically routed himself through Toronto on. Back from Rome. Grateful for that. He could have chosen another city. He didn't come specifically on this trip to see Toronto, but it just so happened he would route himself through Toronto. And that was just fine with me. That was great. He would have come on a weekend when I had more time. However, this wasn't to be the case. We had a real interesting chat. Our chats were just like we were chatting for the internet, but in person.
Yeah, on TeamSpeak. Did you record them, by the way?
No,
you
know why? Because I was working. Believe it or not, the audio wouldn't be good because the environment is noisy. I brought my microphone. I did not have a half-hour break. I felt like setting it up, chat with them, so I decided to go on recording. Because even in person, you have to set up properly.
Yeah.
Willy-nilly
yeah.
About the recording. And
you'd want to do it professionally, and that's
fine.
I mean, we've got enough.
If we had a more... Yep. Yeah, if we had a time where we could see a bit of a studio, it would have been fine, but there was just no opportunity. We're outside most of the time, so got some exercise and shopping. No opportunity. I could have waved the phone in front of his face, recorded it, but would have had to be more scripted in the sense that we couldn't just have a willy-nilly conversation, which is what we had all day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough. You're going to meet each other. You don't want to be sort of on as it's termed when you go on air. You kind of, yeah, you have to be on, but yeah.
I wanted to record it, but then the opportunity, it wouldn't have sounded great, but I just wanted to record it to prove that he was here, but I don't really have to prove anything to anybody, so it doesn't really matter. People just have to believe it, and he's a very...
Why would you lie about that? There's no reason. It's like people were saying that, okay, were you really over in Rome? You didn't record it, but why would you lie about it? There's no reason to. So.
Oh, you're right. He's a real down-to-earth guy. Like I've spoken to him offline, mate.
Yeah, he's great.
The creator of the Vixen Report.
Yeah. One.
A couple times to a few people. Such. Just for a laugh.
Say that again. That didn't come through. Say that again. What was just for a laugh?
Introduced him as the creator of the Vixen Report.
Yeah.
Get people talking.
Who did?
So it was interesting.
Yeah, you're a lucky man. Down here to Australia, and I'll do the same for you, mate. Look after you. You'd have a good time.
Yeah.
I'd show you a good time. Yep, big time.
You, and then Freely the Banana Girl, John O.
I think they live in Bangkok, Thailand, her and that durian rider guy.
The winter.
Yeah, we come back here in the summer.
Much too cold in your winter. What is the average temperature in your winter?
And here around, I don't know. And it's pretty cold at our house because we haven't got central heating, but around 10 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, well, that's not hot. That's true.
You know, it's not like your winters. I mean, my brother's a ski instructor, so he loves snow, but you, I don't think you're a huge fan of snow, are you?
Not for driving around, no. I don't mind snow-like activities, but not when I'm trying to move around most congested cities in the world.
Are you a skier or a snowboarder? Or both?
I used to cross country ski.
Nice. Keeps you fit, I bet.
I used to.
used to. Not anymore.
Easy.
Yeah. Well,
Don't always have good snow where I live. Not always a good snow year.
Good powder snow is what you want, isn't it? I don't know enough about it. I'm pretty good at skiing.
Or any snow.
Go again?
It's on winters with hardly any snow.
Oh. Yeah,
where I live, no guarantee of snow where I live. No, not permanent after a week. No, that doesn't. Mm. That's not a guarantee. Where I live,
but surely it can't be a long drive to get to. Do you have any ski resorts near you there in Toronto or not?
It's not stupid. You have to go at least an hour and a half north to make snow use because they have to make money, so they have to make snow.
Okay, yeah, snow making machines. They have them here in Australia too when we have bad seasons. Have to make it. Anywho, that's not really fake ecologist related. I'll tell you something.
There are places colder than zero in Australia make snow?
Threadbow and Perisher and my brother works at Falls Creek. Sometimes when it's a bad season, it's pretty good at the moment. When it's a bad season, yeah, they have some snow making machines. Make it.
So the air temperature has to be below zero, though, really, right?
I know little to nothing about the whole industry, mate, so I'd rather... I've skied twice in my life. I was pretty good at it when I had a go at it. You know, I could go down.
Any snow in Australia.
Yeah, we do. Down in Victoria.
All right, well, you just blew another myth. I didn't know that. I just thought there was no snow ever in Australia.
Oh, no. We have ski resorts, Threadbow and Perisher and Falls Creek and others. Yeah. Big time. Yeah.
What corner of Australia would they be in?
That'd be down if you look at a map of Australia, down at the bottom right.
Know that.
Yep. There you go. We have
news
snow
for me,
here.
You say?
It's not all 30-degree days every day, which that's what they get in Darwin. but not down in the ski field. So yeah, it's
got
pretty
some
good.
Fakeologist news for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the new thing. I don't know if it's been discussed on fakeologist.com. Is these things called truth bombs? Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I saw them on PK's channel. Tell me about them because I haven't investigated it any farther than the headline. What does it mean?
It means, so say PK and Truth Media Revolution, or Red Pill Revolution he was called, and a few other people are doing it. You point out a video, and then all your supporters go and thumbs down that video and write sort of comments, negative usually, if it's about NASA. And NASA has now disabled comments on two of its videos that I know that Truth Media pointed out. I helped a bit there because I wrote some pretty terse comments about NASA in the comment section. And NASA, just like a sissy organization that it is, runs like a frightened little girl and disables the comments. They can't handle the heat. The second people start saying this is bullshit, that's bullshit, you know, that sort of thing. It's the water on Mars video, and immediately they disable the video, the comments on the video because they just can't handle it. NASA,
I like
knows
that. That's really good.
Yeah, it's working well, mate. It is really, really
PK.
Working well. Yeah, PK's right in there amongst it, and so is Truth Media Revolution. I listened to an old audio ab of you and Dell and Hoy talking about him because he made a video about getting an interview with Simon Shack. I don't know if you remember that guy. And you guys sort of, it was like back in March this year, so you probably don't remember. I just listened to it last night. Very entertaining, actually. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh.
He claimed that he'd secured a interview with Simon Shack, and as it turns out, he hadn't. But,
okay, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he's just a young man, and I think he joined up with Clues Forum, and Shack's pretty, what would you say, he probably doesn't give interviews much anymore to people he doesn't know, so why, there's no point, really, is there? Came to your party, and I thought that was brilliant, and was enjoying himself. Everyone enjoyed themselves at your 7-hour party, so I did, vicariously, afterwards. I'm glad you posted that. I listened back to it. It's a bit of a laugh. Do you remember that?
Oh, vaguely. I tend to move on in life. I don't review too much past stuff, but that's okay.
All good, mate. All good. I didn't think I was going to get promoted to operator status after what I said to Frank the Salt Guy, but thought I was going to get banned. Typical me. Anyway, that's life. So this truth bomb thing's really taking off. And fakeologists can do it too. If they want to spot a video that they find abhorrent or goes against everything that fakeologists stand for, drop the link of the video into chat.fakeologist.com and then just ask truth bomb it. Yeah. And
I like that. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, I think
cool.
so.
Cool, I'm for that. I'm for that.
Me too. It's a
really
fantastic
good.
Idea. Yeah.
That was PK's idea?
I don't know who's – I know PK's doing it along with a few others. Jeff C., your Canadian mate, he's certainly on board, and that Truth Media guy is definitely on board. So, I don't particularly like Jeff C. that much because he's a fear porn artist, but this truth bomb idea is fantastic. So any idea that's good, I don't care if I don't like the person that came up with it. If it was Jeff C.'s idea, I don't – care. Brilliant idea, and I hope it continues.
Like it. Okay with that.
So, what else?
We had a good meeting with Hoy. That was all I did that day, and the only other thing that I'm doing, you see what I'm doing just based on my website, fakeologist.com. I'm still listening to the, I think is the best NASA bashing podcast out there, Jaronism and Bob and TJ. Jaronism and TJ and Bob, I mean. I like Bob.
Yeah.
Bob sounds very level-headed and very calm. I didn't watch the video, but I listened to it, and I really want to go watch it and look at his pictures of the moon took with his Nikon P900.
Yeah,
everyone is
yep. It was moving all over the place. It's hard to keep it in shot. I know. I've filmed the moon too, and it's hard to keep it in shot.
He needs a tripod. T900.
Yeah, I don't know if he was doing it with a tripod or not, but it seemed to be a little
bit. He wasn't too good with the tripod.
He wasn't. he had a red hot go though, and some of the pictures are great. Yeah, nice close up and crisp. The moon wasn't spinning.
He was comparing it to some kind of dianthemum or what he said.
I just looked at the pictures. I'm not huge into the whole thing. If you ask me, the thing I preferred the most that Geronism did was the buzz being buzzed. Because, you know, something that I find closer to my heart. You know, Buzz and his the crazy antics.
He's buzzed on alcohol or he's buzzed on something else?
Yeah, I don't know if you can actually say that he's actually juiced out. He could be on medication that makes him act that way. So,
definitely on something, would you surmise?
Yes. Yeah, no normal person acts like that. But he's had to live with that moon landing life for how long now? That's got to affect you mentally, surely, don't you think?
Because he must know more and more people don't believe him. He must feel it. He must.
Well, I watched that. I don't know if he's addicted to this acting like a clown thing, because James, his name is, Uninstall Media, pointed out the other day that go and watch him on Tom Green. Tom Green's a comedian up there in Canada. He's a Canadian. Do you know
he's
Tom
not
Green
here.
Is?
I think he's in L.A. Yeah, but around here, I think he's in L.A. I don't.
But he's from Canada, I think. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
But so are 33 other million people. I don't know him.
Yeah, 33. Woohoo! A nice
like
number.
Yeah. Around there. Yeah, believe it or not, it's around 33. It's crazy, I know.
Anyway, I watched that on James's recommendation, and yeah, Oz is just, he's just an out there guy, really. There's no substance to anything he says, really. There's no technical, you'd think someone who did this amazing feat to get to the moon would be more technical in what he says. I've listened to a lot of Buzz Edward Aldrin's speaking, and there's just nothing there.
He's a good liar?
He's a clown. That's what Geronism. Geronism's not a clown. He's when he made that
you're
video,
lying. When you're lying, is it good to be a clown?
Well. I think it's the only way he can get away with it.
What about Jim Carrey? He's a clown. He lies, doesn't he?
Oh, with the death of that young lady, is that where you're going with that?
Well, everything. He's in all the best PSYOP movies.
He's Canadian too, isn't he? Canadian?
Allegedly. That's what we're told. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see him on here.
Well,
he said he lives in the bus.
To do comedy, it's a very serious business. To try and get laughs. I mean, firstly, to go on stage anywhere or put a mic in front of your mouth, as you well know, is unnerving.
Maybe.
To begin with. Then if you're specifically going up to get laughs, you know, it takes a special breed of person to do that.
My Jim point Carrey. Is, when you lie and joke about it, get away with it. Because people don't take it seriously because, you're just joking. That's what when you mix humor with lies, it's really hard to detect. You're want to tell the truth, or you're intending to tell the truth.
Yeah, I've been accused of that. But the thing with me is, though, I can be totally serious, and which I am now, because I'm not drinking. You hear it in my voice that the other night I was off my trolley.
You're pretty. What time is it there?
8:18 in the a.m.
Oh, okay. Dry.
I am dry. Indeed. So that's why I'm talking about things like these truth bombs that seem to be sweeping the net and doing a good job. I knew it'd be something you'd approve of.
I like it. I haven't participated, but I like it.
Hey, what else? I put a thing in the chat the other day about a movie by Robert Zemeckis called The Wire that's got Joe Gordon-Levitt in it.
Okay.
Thought that might be interesting because obviously it's the remake of those two guys in 1970 that supposedly walked on a wire between the two towers.
Okay, I heard about that. I haven't looked at
maybe
movie. I heard about. Okay, let me just look it up here.
Cool.
The movie I heard about, trying to get the title, started watching it yet. It looks 3.5 hours long. It is called, doesn't show up in my history of YouTube. Now I can't find it. It crashed. Not Cowspiracy. I'm going to watch that. Have you watched Cowspiracy?
Yeah, a little bit. And I was going to bring that up, actually, because Chris Kendall and John Adams on their a couple of shows back, started out talking about vegan and vegetarianism. And I certainly had some things to say about that. What was the movie that you watched, though? Was it something to do with health or eating meat?
No. It's about JF. I can't find the damn thing, but the title is something like JFK to 9/11.
Right. Sounds interesting.
Conspiracy pricks. I'm going to see if I can find it because you lost it. JFK to 9/11. Let's Google that. Everything is a rich man's trick. There it is. JFK to 9/11. Everything is a rich man's trick. I'm going to try and watch that. But I haven't heard of it before. Have you heard of that?
Got 1 no, million I haven't, views. But it sounds great.
1 million views 10 months ago. Brought up by a person named Patrick White, who allegedly has a bookstore in Toronto. It is on conspiracy. He was on some YouTube chat show from Toronto, and he mentioned that movie. And seems almost on board with most three, but maybe not all the way.
Right. JFK to 9/11, everything is a rich man's trick.
3 hours, got that right? 27 minutes and 56 seconds.
Is that Isn't 3 hours, that 27 minutes and 56 seconds I'm never going to get back, Ab?
That would be in numerology 3, 9, 11. Very nice.
Oh, where's
these
Zach?
People, they work hard at that, don't they?
Indeed they do. Where's Zach
work
Hubbard?
Hard at that.
He watched that. He'd love it.
it's terrible. So maybe it's just a movie there to control our thinking of. Maybe it's just there, but somebody had to.
I'll tell you what. I'll watch it for you, definitely. Yeah. I'll definitely watch it for you and give you my thoughts. Just back to Chris Kendall and John Adams for a second, and their thoughts on eating, not eating or eating meat. They obviously were promoting or poo-pooing the idea of being a vegetarian or vegan. I would suggest to those two films. One's called Eating by, I think his name's Mike. Oh, I've forgotten it. Mike Adams? No, it's not Mike Adams.
Health Ranger?
The films. Go again.
Health Ranger.
No. I've got his book on my shelf. Just go on mute for a second, or you can clip anyway.
Go ahead.
And the other one is Earthlings, and it's narrated by Joaquin Phoenix. If you can watch both of those films without looking away, I'll find who did Eating. But Earthlings.
Yeah.
If you can watch that film fully without looking away, then you have every right to eat meat. But if you can't, I think it's slightly hypocritical. It's all to do with the actual slaughter of the animals, and it's like 2 hours of watching animals being killed.
I can wear cheap clothing, and I watch those movies on the sweatshops.
See, that's the thing. It's my birthday in. I hope this isn't too suck-holy, but in 2 days' time, it's my birthday, Ab, and do you know what I'm going to do for my birthday or all the cash that I get and stuff? Because I don't ask for stuff anymore. You know what I'm going to do?
Drink?
I'm going to give it to – I'm going to buy Simon's album, which I can find on The View from the Bog, for starters, and then maybe give the rest to Clues Forum. Because you don't want – you never accept money, do you?
Give it to those guys. Turn it down, but, yeah, they need it. I don't need it. They need it. They're the shoestring artists, so, yeah. You can, I have a link on fakeologist.com under September Clues. Find the soundtrack and link to the new album, I think, as well, from my site. Go to the top.
Like I said, I don't need any more stuff. There's absolutely no stuff I need. I mean, apart from the odd beer or two, which you already know that. But there you go.
Very good. That's very worthwhile.
I think so. I mean, they've put the time and effort in, and, it's just good to know. I mean, I don't know how hard they are up for cash, but
I think they live a pretty sparse existence.
Good.
Say that. All
right. Well, I'd only be too happy to help, so they should see my, because that PayPal thing, I've used it before. I've given money to other people, so it works.
Very good of you. That's very good.
It works reasonably well, so, and
micro donation once.
Go again?
I made a micro donation once. I used Tip the Web, but I think Tip the Web isn't working anymore. I think the people who started it walked away from it.
I couldn't work it out. Ab. That's how I wanted to help you out, but you're not interested in putting a PayPal button or anything. So that's fine. I mean, it just shows you're in it, not in it for the cash, because if you were, you'd be a poor man.
Yeah, I would be. I'd be broke. No, you can't make money.
What you have to do then is start compromising, I think, a lot of the time. Not with just a PayPal button, but you know, begging for money.
You couldn't make a living doing this. There's too many people doing it or sort of doing it. Never make money. No. You can't make money in media. I think that's the whole point. You have to be backed. Artists, past. We're backed by
rich people. Produce something.
We're going back to that.
Yeah, go. Yep.
I think we're going back to that. In the old days, artists had to be backed by a patron. I think no media is making money right now. Very few media of any kind is making money. Has to be backed, and they're backed by intelligence agencies and very rich people that want their message out. Otherwise, no agenda show might be making a go of it. Believe their numbers, doing pretty well. They have to stay mainstream enough to keep people interested, because there's not enough people on the fringe to support.
Bread and Humble? Are they making money? Or?
I would say maybe possibly, but they have patrons.
Oh, okay.
Sponsors. Couldn't say anything. They do a variety show. It's interesting to me only because it's from this area.
We're the Chris Kendall, when he went on Clint Richardson, who you interviewed a while back, they did some funny commercials. It was on, do you remember what Patriot Radio, RBN? Is that the one they were on? Do you know?
Yeah, something like that. I never listened to those. Yeah. I don't think I heard that. I got, Chris has two audio, one of them, hoaxbusterscall.com, and the other's Talk Shoe, and I grabbed it off Talk Shoe. That didn't have the commercial. Wasn't going to listen to it again with the commercials. So
I've got the one with the commercials, though, the amusing commercials made by James. So that's what we were going to talk about today. About I don't think you and James speak about that when you spoke. About the creation of them. And
do I sell them? Because if you ISO them, then play them. Dump them in the stream. Let's listen.
I'll wait until James gets here and do it, if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind.
Yeah, I haven't got it all queued up. I was going to queue it up and but I have it ready to go, so we could talk to him about it and the creation of them. Because Pizza 9/11. I don't know if you've heard them. They're a classic.
No, I haven't. I'll listen.
Yeah.
I got my first Nigerian email scam today.
The first one. Oh, God.
No, but. The 9/11 theme to it.
Ooh. Tell me. Can you read it?
Go to fakeologist.com. I'll go to it. Fakeologist.com.
Yeah.
Breaking up, mate. Is that your end or?
I don't know. Do you want me to reset my internet?
Copy. Cut in and out a little bit.
1, 2, 3, because I've got my internet open. Oh, here we go. Can you help Wasa?
Wasa.
Am I clear? Do you want me to reset my internet?
Good enough.
Take two. What was that?
You're good enough.
Okay. My first Nigerian scam email that made it past my spam filters, starring a 9/11 victim. On October 1st, 2015, at 5:06 p.m., KLM wrote, "Dearest, I am Wasa Philip." Did you want to read it, Ab, or me?
Okay, great, but I can read it. It says, "Dearest blank," didn't even fill in my name. I'm hurt. "I am Wasa Philip, Esquire, personal lawyer to late Mr. Robert Akbari, contractor with European Development Company, who died months after injury sustained World Trade Center bombing of 11th September 2001. 5.5 he deposited with one company here and is about to be confiscated if no next of kin to the fund showed up. I there consult your consent to present you, since you have the surname with him. Contact me via this email. God bless, Barrister Wasa Philip." Then I It reminded me of the Budweiser commercial, What's Up? That. There you go.
That is such a funny commercial. I remember that years ago. What's Up?
Oh, I know. It's so stupid, isn't it?
Then underneath, I still make you laugh to think about it. Maybe you should play the commercial. We right play now. The commercial now?
Go ahead.
All right. You'll have to mute yourself because I still haven't virtual audio cabled, so give me a moment.
Play it. Play it.
Hey, dude.
Hear a thing. Hear a thing.
Sorry, dude. My internet's just decided it's not playing ball, so I'll just do a... Okay. I'll do a reset, and then I'll play it, I promise. How long you got, Matt, by the way? How long have you got to chat?
Oh, I got a couple hours. I'll be hanging around here and there.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, give me a moment.
I'm out and about. This is a time when I'm out and about. I was going to have a nap, but that's okay. I'm going to stay awake for you.
It'll only be about 2 hours, and then Lumberjack and Uninstall said they'd be here, and we were going to have a chit-chat about quite a few topics that we spoke about 5 or 6 hours yesterday in the lobby. Record any of
it. Why did you? You didn't record it? You got to record it, man. We were dying for audio chat in the last few days.
Yeah. Well, there's a good reason we didn't record it, because there was a person in there who's excellent.
Okay,
her name's
fine.
Babette. Yeah, and she doesn't want to be recorded, so.
So she was chatting.
Yeah. A fantastic lady she is, and great sense of humor, and
That's too bad she doesn't want to be recorded. Too bad.
No, it is too bad. But that's her prerogative. And
it's all of our prerogative. We don't have to be recorded.
That's right. So we were there for a good few hours, and they were going at it. Greg and her were having a chat before. I mean, we can talk about things, but she just doesn't want to be recorded. The other day, I accidentally recorded the 6 hours that we had. She said, "I don't want that going anywhere," and I immediately deleted it. And I gave her my word as a fakeologist, I deleted it, because there's nothing worse in this world, I think, or low. I'm not talking about what Chris Kendall did, where he rang up those Fox people. They're fair game, in my opinion.
They're in the media.
They're fair game.
I agree.
I don't have a problem with that at all. And fucking weirdos that are bloody fingerprinting kids, absolutely. I want them recorded, because if we don't have things like that recorded, you know, these weirdos will get away with it. But people that are just wanting to have a nice chat, like fakeologists in the lobby, and they don't want to be recorded, you've got to respect that.
Well, I'm okay with that. I think that's great.
Yep.
I didn't even know you guys were in the lobby. I don't have any record of it. Well, I do, but I didn't hear anything. So, yeah, go for it. It's good.
All right. So, I'll just go and reset my internet, and then I'll play this. What's up? I'll be right back.
Why don't you have the audio cables working? It takes 2 minutes.
Oh. And this is an old machine, and this is the one
I use.
I try to keep everything separate on that machine, because that machine is... Our other rig is the one that we kind of do everything on. This is the rig I don't mind if stuff happens to. If you understand.
Why don't you put it on that one?
Well, I actually do have it on there. It's just playing up for the moment. I'll be right back, all right? Give me a couple of minutes.
Can't do it. Cannot do it. Help you with TeamViewer and help you.
User in your channel timed out. User entered your channel.
Microphone activated.
Hello? Hey, who? What's up?
Nothing, B. Just watching the game, having a bud. What's up with you?
Nothing. Watching the game, having a bud.
True. True.
What's up?
What's up?
Yo, who's that?
Yo! Yo, pick up the phone!
Hello?
What's up?
What's up?
Yeah. Yo, where's Dookie?
Yo, Duke!
Yo.
What's up?
What's up?
Hold on. Hello?
So what's up, B?
Watching the game, having a bud.
True. True.
Hello?
Yo, who's that? Yo, it's Dick.
Dream.
Hello? Yo, it's T.
True.
Psychologist. What's up? How good is that? I think Ab's on the go until he gets back.
Microphone activated.
Okay, so here I'm back. Ab just reminded me of, so he basically got an email scam, included the Budweiser commercial. Now, years ago, I remember the coolest song where they incorporated that into a song. So have a go at this. If you haven't heard it, it is just fantastic. This is fantastic. Psychologist.com.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Stuff. You know, just hanging and chilling. How you doing?
What's that?
Psychologist.com.
It's Freddy online.
Hello?
What's
that? What's that? Yo,
where's Tony?
Yo, Tony! Hey, Ab.
What's up?
What's up?
Just hanging, chewing, you know.
Cool, 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 cool.
Wait, the light.
What's up?
Delphra.
What's up?
Delphra.
What's up?
Yo, Tony!
Yo.
Break the salt guy.
What's up?
Heaven.
What's up?
John LeBron.
What's up? What's up?
Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo.
That's right, it's 11 past the hour on fakeologist.com radio, and you're with Navin Rollo coming at ya.
User left your channel. User joined your channel. User joined your channel. User left your channel. User joined your channel.
Hey, Vidya, you there? Take two? Your mic's open. No lights, mate. Okay. I can't see any lights. Check your Bluetooth or your
channel.
Oh, here we go. We've got
Governor.
Ab back, have we? Ab, how are you, mate? It is,
when I came into the channel, did it say I entered the channel?
Yeah, user entered your channel. User entered your channel.
Okay, I was wondering if the sound was working. All right, I just turned that on for a little bit, just for fun.
Yeah, sure. I just played the Budweiser song. And I included all the fakeologist names I could in it. And I'll just listen back to it. It's pretty awesome. You remember the song that they made from that commercial? There's Vidya having another go.
User joined the channel.
It's Iopticon. God, everyone's
hello.
Coming along.
Hello, good evening.
Hello. Hello. Right. My favorite POM, apart from Tommy Dalpra. Or are you the same entity?
One too many.
How you doing, man?
Yeah. All right, cheers, thanks. Hope everyone else is.
Thanks for helping me through the other night. I was a little upset. I thought I'd done the wrong thing when I had the fight with Frank, but you calmed my nerves. So thank you for that.
User disconnected from your channel.
Yeah, I've forgotten all about that, but it blew over anyway. It certainly didn't.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't held a grudge.
He's still there. He's kind of an easygoing sort of fella. So, yeah, I guess. Looks like somebody else is on for him today. It's John Le Bon. I couldn't work that out.
Yeah. John Le Bon, that Dave J guy, is trying to compare John Le Bon with somebody.
Tristram, whoever that is.
Who the hell's the other person?
It's in the chat. It's all smoke and mirrors. It is. I can't work anything out. Just have to.
And they're going, okay, Dave J, you're comparing John Le Bon to who? Make it clear.
It's got a similar mouth. That's
all nonsense. All nonsense. Distraction. If you notice, you're talking about it. It's working, whatever he's doing, to go off topic.
Yeah, fine. Well, Ab, you're one of the best when it comes to staying on topic. So thanks
John
for the...
John Le Bon is, too.
Oh, yeah. I made that perfectly clear, I think, when I had my exchange with Frank, I made it perfectly clear that all John Le Bon did was to say that those two people aren't literally the same people.
Your knowledge.
Hindering.
Ignore him.
It's rubbish.
Ignore him. Him up.
I will. All right.
Yeah, don't feed the troll.
You're not going to call me Trollo from now on, are you?
Like that name? Not really a troll.
No, I'm not. No chance. Octagon, you still there?
Shill, you're a shill. You shill for the shack.
Yeah, I'm still here. Just muting in between listening to you.
Ab's just calling me a shill straight to my face. So
shill for the shack.
Shill for the shack. That's it. Oh, the funniest thing you said the other day, Ab, and God bless her heart, Mojo had way too much to drink and wanted to know have I said this already? What you wanted to be in the next life and you wanted to come back as the Loch Ness Monster and scare the shit out of her.
Funny thing I could come up with, and it wasn't funny.
It was to me.
It wasn't.
That was a
it
classic.
Wasn't funny. Really. That's all I could think of. I don't know anything about Scotland other than it's up there.
Yeah. Well, Sarticon basically... What did you say, Psyopticon? You said, fuck off.
There's a comedy show about a Scottish ghost who speaks here fucking this, you know. What was it called? Rent a Ghost. You probably remember it, don't you, Rolo? And she reminded me of the Scottish ghost in it. Yeah. Like wailing round a Scottish castle.
What was the name of the show? You know.
It's called Rent a Ghost.
Ring a bell, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. And it had a Scottish actress in there, and she was, she's got a very sort of, I guess, I don't know what accent Mojo's is. I mean, I know it's Scottish, but I think she said she's from Glasgow, didn't she? She says she's Glaswegian girl.
Glaswegian.
She's a distinctive
okay when
one,
she's
isn't
not
it?
She's on the source.
But it's very different to the snooty sort of Edinburgh accent, you know, the upper class Scottish one. She's got a good working class, down to earth Glaswegian accent, but, yeah.
I did like when Tom Dalpra, when she's going, boring, yeah. It's fucking boring.
Yeah, she's a sweet girl.
Tommy just said, hey, behave.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's all good. I mean, she'll be forgiven. I've been forgiven. I've done more outrageous stuff than that on air, easily more outrageous. So I just try and limit my intake. If you're going to be on air, try and limit your intake, or as I said yesterday, find the envelope.
Mute yourself. If you're not going to limit, then mute yourself, right? Of course, nobody else wants to hear it, right?
Well,
if they're
intoxicated. I was just going to say, for some people,
go ahead.
Like to get on the mic, maybe need a couple, but it's a question of where the envelope is. Anyway, back to you, Ab. Ooh, we've lost Ab. Have we? Or maybe I pissed him off. Hey, so he's still there, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, I think he's working, so he has to be in and out.
Yeah, sure.
Opticon?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just looking at What's going on in the
news? I just can't believe you're a binge drinker. You said you've had trouble binge drinking, have you?
I do, yeah. I haven't drunk anything for a few months now, but I was, yeah, really bad. I think Election Day, whenever it was, May the 6th, was it, last May, and I bought a crate of Guinness. Like, there's a new type of Guinness come out called Guinness, what's it called now? So like Western Porter or something or other. And it's 6%. Anyway, poof, bam, vomiting and everything else. So it got that bad. Yeah, that was last May. This May just gone. So, yeah, I'm a binge drinker, terrible one, yeah. You know, a whole crate of Guinness for me and just like one other person. It was disgusting, yeah. Vomit all over the place. But anyway, spare the
listeners. But you don't get violent or anything? I've never had an ounce of violence.
I never do, no. No, I never get violent. It starts off as sort of, I don't know, it just starts off with...
I don't know if this is a fakeologist subject. I don't think Ab would appreciate us talking about...
pretty crude, pretty rude, yeah. I'm on the vomit channel. There must be a vomit team speaking somewhere.
Right, mate. We'll just knock that on the head. So back to you, Ab.
Talking about vomit and vomit comets and whatever else, there's a really, I've not really followed her much, or her or him, called Lester Nediam, I think the name is. There's some like really good research there. It's kind of rather staid with just written research, you know, with you followed that. There's some really good stuff there about the especially about the NASA hoax. You know, it's kind of like pretty good on the ISS what he or she writes there. It's I saw that Hoyle or Matt from Clues invited him or her, Lester, over to Clues, but he or she declined, said they weren't going to do it on their terms, you know. They had too much time on their hands, or didn't have enough time on their hands, sorry.
Yes, I think that might be a known entity behind that.
Really?
I think Rollo might be familiar with that entity
as well.
Well,
John LeBon has been accused of being Lester, because they're both in Brisbane. I'm subscribed to Lester's.
I think you know who it is, Rollo.
I don't want to say. I'm not saying who I know.
You're not.
Not up to me to say that.
There was a little clue there. I don't know if it was a false one. That on her or his screen, there's often Russian subtitles, Russian window labels.
I think those are. Yeah, well, the clue that clue is just to. It'll take you off track. That's all.
I did wonder. It was rather prominent, wasn't it? Yeah. So we might know them, but Rollo won't say.
It's not up to me to say. It's.
And are they, well, are they we friend can only... or foe then?
You can speculate all you like. I speculate.
You can only speculate, but it's somebody who is very active using different identities all over the youth community. So that's one really? Of many. Yeah.
I don't think it is, but anyway. Their research is certainly very strong and a good quality, so I'll make the most of it.
Nothing. I wouldn't be subscribed to them if I didn't think so. I unsubscribe from.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I read it, but it would be helpful if there was a voice, but it can't be a voice because you might know it.
Ab loves radio. Yeah, exactly.
Do you agree? Rollo?
Absolutely. Because in the written text, who knows who's writing it? I mean, how do we know that Monica or Master of None would be the superb person that she is? I mean, the writing was excellent, but when she immediately came on the mic and was confident and superb, I could hear it in your voice. It was a joy for all fakeologists to hear. You got a new fakeologist, a professional, sensible, lovely lady.
She has a great voice.
Yeah. Radio
voice.
She has
a really great voice.
Isn't that good? That's fantastic. Yeah, I listened to that audio twice.
I thought you would love that voice. I thought, wow, this is a really great voice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everyone has a good voice, but she does.
Yeah.
I thought.
Not like, K-Ham.
Yeah.
She's great. She's got a good voice. Yeah.
Yeah,
Master
has a bit of a... What else is going
on, sir? A sultry voice. I don't know. There's been another shooting, apparently, in Oregon.
Yes, I
saw
that.
And Obama's already on the bandwagon saying it's we can't wait for next time. Got to do something about it. Gun policy's got to change.
Oh, is that right?
There's a shooting in Oregon. There's a shooting in Oregon, Ab. Isn't that what you're talking about?
I can't keep up.
13 dead. And the shooter apparently interrogated each person before shooting them, asking what their religion was before saying...
Oh, brother, here we go, eh?
Sounds like you shot 13 anyway, so I don't know what religion you had to say you were to be spared.
You got anyway, the full article there that you can read out, Diopticon?
Hang on, it's loading. I'm on a internet connection. It's like, Obama said, President Barack Obama said, we must have a change of politics, quote, on gun control. And he called on all Americans to challenge the gun lobby after at least 10 people were reportedly killed in a shooting at a community college in southwestern Oregon. Our thoughts and prayers are not enough. It's not enough. It doesn't capture the heartache and the grief and the anger we should suffer. And it doesn't prevent this carnage from being inflicted somewhere else in America next week or in a couple of months from now, Mr. Obama said in an emotional televised address. So he's certainly...
They're really turning up the heat on these, aren't they? Really turning up the heat on this. This is amazing, isn't it? It really is amazing. Really at the heart of our research, too.
I must feel very removed from it, though. Sorry. Being in Europe, we feel very removed, and actually, we probably actually... you know, what was that asshole, some British journalist who goes to America... what's his name? The former editor of the
Piers Morgan
newspaper in London.
Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan. He was kind of over there. Yeah, he was kind of over there. You know, a few months back, wasn't he? Sort of pushing the gun control policies and such like. And I don't know.
He's a total filthy, disgusting human being.
Morgan. I was going to say,
Piers Morgan.
I think you. Yeah. You once labeled me Tavistock. Am I coming through?
Yeah, okay.
I think Sayatan, you labeled me Tavistock Tim at one point. Is that right?
I did indeed.
I was going to say we could probably label Piers Morgan Tavistock more than anybody. What do you think of that?
He's I don't know. He's kind of gained a bit of a name as a sort of you know, he was the head of the Mirror newspaper. He was the editor of the Mirror in London, which is kind of like a left of centre tabloid, red top tabloid. And it was one of the nominally anti-war newspapers in the run up to the Iraq War. So he gained a sort of false following there of people who felt he was, you know, against the system, against the war machine, and everything else. But he kind of turned out to be a very much co-opted and controlled individual anyway, in other ways. So. Yeah, I don't know much about him, really. He's kind of public school educated, you know, the usual stuff that ends up in running a Fleet Street rag, controlling
people's
minds.
Talk about a guy that was
propaganda.
This program with Tavistock. He is definitely with the program. Come on. He came over to America to pollute his...
very true.
Pollute the airwaves. The CIA News Network hired him, of course, and he's Tavistocked as they come. Hey.
Very much controlled. Yeah.
I'd like to see Piers Morgan and Jeremy Clarkson in a boxing ring together.
They do apparently hate each other, don't they? There's supposed to be some animosity there, yeah.
Fucking brilliant, the fights that they've had on air or on Twitter and it's just too much fun, those two.
They're pretty vile, both of them are individually.
Well, he is the most racist scumbag, Clarkson. I don't know how he bloody gets away with it. And he obviously, when he punched out his producer or something, and that was the final straw, and the BBC flicked the cunt.
There was more to that, though, Rollo. It seemed like they'd already moved him on to sort of like this... Britain is moving towards this sort of, what do you call it, internet TV now, where our telephone company just gave us hundreds of pounds worth of equipment for... watching TV over the internet, you know, and it's kind of like, didn't really want it anyway, but Clarkson was apparently just about to move to an Amazon product, you know, IPTV broadcast by Amazon. So I think there was kind of like possibly some sort of, the BBC was already aware that he was on the move anyway, as it were, with a pay-per-view channel or whatever they call it, you know, so I don't know, I didn't really follow.
Oh, okay, so he was going anyway,
He was kind of,
all right.
I love cars like The Next Man, but it was something about it that I didn't really like. Clarkson was a television producer for Top Gear, the BBC Top Gear programme about motor cars and the motor industry and everything else, and it was kind of so boorish, like driving along firing rockets out of the window of his car at speed signs.
Never did it for me, and it's not really fakeologist related, but let's just... He did have a racist streak in him, and
definitely.
When you know he's talking about slopes and things. Oh, look who's here, old friend. She's got it working. There she is. There.
There.
Hey, Ro.
How you doing, mate? Long time no see.
Yeah.
You're a bit choppy there.
Hi, Vidir. Hello, Vidir. Are you?
I'm late in craziness.
How are you, Vidir?
I'm doing good.
Choppy. Your internet's no good.
That's because I'm driving.
Trying to drive and do what you do, Ab.
Driving? You're driving,
yeah,
too,
Yeah, I gotta turn the Wi-Fi off. I think that's probably better, isn't it?
There we go.
Sound pretty good.
How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing wonderful.
Great. I heard you, ages ago, I haven't spoken to you since last, I think with that, when you had a bit of a punch up with Jono, but I don't think I ever spoke to you since then. So, did you hear Ab met up with Hoi Polloi? Did you hear that?
Isn't he the sweetest guy?
I like Hoi, of course. He's the sweetest and the smartest.
He is. It's kind of scary, isn't it?
Refreshing. I think a lot of people used to be like that in the old days. Everyone's so dumb, but Hoi stands out, of course, among they.
He's considering moving to my second home here over in Arizona. So hopefully we'll connect up again as well.
Yes, he said that. I don't know if it's public knowledge, so I didn't announce it. It's for him to announce wherever he's going, but wherever he goes. Ben? Breaking up. You're breaking up so badly, just like the old days.
Sorry.
Are you on Sprint? You got to switch to Verizon, I think. I think they're the best, what I hear.
Yeah, but actually we piggyback off of Sprint lines. They just don't give us very much, I guess.
They give you the scraps. Here, Verizon is the number one carrier. I think Adam Curry uses Verizon MiFi. There.
Yes, dear.
Dear, my dear, I haven't talked to you in so long. I'm wondering what you think of the all Earth, flat Earth, all this information coming up. What is your thought?
I think that it is a design to lead you down the wrong path. I think it's put out there by the controllers, and I don't think.
You don't think what? You broke off. Again? That didn't come
then
through.
Space travel. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, your audio is awful.
Are not.
Try again.
And travel in space.
Again?
The flat Earth thing.
Yeah, you're not coming through. Will you be at a stable.
Can't hear and listen.
I know. Try again, one more time. Not too bad, Vidair's audio is not good. Oh, well, we tried.
Yeah, I mean, what did you say? She needs to switch to a different carrier.
I know. Yeah, well, she's on probably the budget carrier. I think Sprint is the bottom of the pile in the U.S., but it's unlimited, but get what you pay for.
Pay for. I've been a fakeologist way before me. Great. I remember the morning I was lying sort of unconscious with my headphones on, and she yelled in my ear, Robin Williams just died or something. How I found out from video that morning. Hello, fakeologist. Right. Maybe she can find a stable landline or something. Call in and you can discuss your meeting up. Fakeologists meeting up all over the place. Isn't that great?
Actually, my comment was, and I hope you can hear me because I'm sitting really still. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, you're good. He's gone again.
Controllers.
Take two on that. Man, it reminds me of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on the moon. How did they talk when we're having so much trouble?
Exactly, Rolla. Exactly.
Come on,
exactly.
Video. Take three.
I've never heard that. That was a good gag.
The thing is, we don't have any answers for the moon or this planet. I don't want to be hopeless about it, but notice that told that the moon rotates at 2,200 miles an hour, double the speed of the Earth, conveniently, 1,100. And they're both occult numbers. This is what I call Mason feet. It doesn't mean anything other than the fact that I think the numbers are completely up.
Yeah, quite. Yeah. Almost a hat tip to that effect, isn't it? It's just these numbers mean nothing, but we're the ones who cook them up. So,
yeah, Yeah, exactly. They mean nothing. So they're not helping understand the nature. I think we can all agree that we see a light in the sky called the moon and another one we call the sun. And beyond that, I'm not sure the information is very good what they are and how they work.
And the interactions or anything else. What about the planets? I don't want to turn it into an astronomy program or whatever.
I was just going to say, I don't know. I think I spoke about this yesterday, so I wasn't on air. Sometimes I get, I repeat myself. Delcroix, View from the Bog. It's got a couple of videos there where this South African, it makes perfect sense to me because I always like Flat Earth told to me like I'm a four-year-old. Go to A View from the Bog, Delcroix. There's this South African, he's put a couple of links to some great YouTube videos where the sun's coming through the clouds and they're coming through at different angles. And he makes perfect sense that the sun can't be the crazy amount of millions and billions of miles away.
Free Aleister Crowley occult million miles away. I agree. That's another thing. Yes, I agree with that.
I do suggest either AbU link to it or Fakeologist go over to A View from the Bog and watch it. Right. Back to you.
I haven't looked at it yet, but I would agree that all these things need to be taken into account and under consideration to help with our understanding. I don't think the story we get or have gotten from NASA is right. It's completely wrong.
It is an abhorrence. And I've written some with the truth bomb thing. I wrote quite a few things. I might read them out to you. I kept a couple of my comments. And guys,
drop the links.
Yeah. Well, I put it on. I actually gave the quotes to Red Pill, but I'll go to his site. I can read them to you, so I'll be back.
User in your channel timed out. User entered your channel. User joined your channel. User left your channel.
All right. 2-2. That will clip all the empty space, which... 2. Check. 1-2. All right, so yesterday a truth bomb was done on a NASA video. It was the one... If you go to NASA's YouTube page, it's the one where they say they found water on Mars. The comments were pretty terse already, but I thought I'd chime in. So here's Mr. Congo Blast commented on a video on YouTube, shared publicly yesterday at 11:38 p.m., 11:11. So why many dislikes was the question, Mr. Congo Blast, because the general public have cottoned on to this monstrous lying cunt organization's lies. Their hard-earned tax dollars wasted on wasted dreams. NASA is the cancer on humanity. NASA needs to be killed, destroyed, eviscerated. Death to NASA, and that right soon. Smiley face. And then my second one was to Mr. Congo Blast. Answer the question with another question. Why so many likes? This chronic lying scumbag organization that lies and destroys dreams of little children who thinks Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins having to lie their whole lives to protect this pathetic moon landing lie, and now these cunts are now trying the Mars landing lie. Death to NASA, and that right soon. And then Mr. Congo Blast has written, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard. I might have been a little bit terse there, but NASA then
I like that.
Disabled the comments. Yeah. Well,
I like that. You should have screen grabbed it.
I should have. That's the mistake I made. I should have taken a screen grab of all the comments because that pretty much, apart from a couple that were calling everyone else conspiracy theorists, were all negative. Yet there's about 1,700 thumbs up, but 600 thumbs down. And that's what this person was asking. Why so many dislikes? There you go. That's all.
Don't forget, they use a lot of techniques. Your comment, even before they disabled the comments, might not have appeared. They might have ghosted it. Do you know what ghosting is?
Do you know what we did? I checked it with a couple of people on their cell phones, and it could be seen. I've heard you talk about that before, Ab. No.
Yeah. There's a million techniques. Yeah, well, good on you then. That's good. It's a good what you did. And hopefully they'll just not going to stop. They're tweeting a million times a day, producing the, I think, Joy Jaredism and their viewing party, the ISS live footage. They're doing more damage to NASA than anyone else because they're just sitting there watching the nonsense and doing some very constructive commenting, saying this is why this isn't right, why that's not right. And I'm enjoying it.
Me too.
Bob is a fan.
He's a very serious young man. But the only thing is he shouldn't go into areas where he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm talking about 9/11 there. He just
might
needs
not
to
know
steer
he
clear.
Know.
Go again?
We can't. Might not know he doesn't know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but why is he stick Jaredism? If you're listening, mate, just stick to what you're good at, which is this ISS thing. And you're a serious guy, but
he has every right to comment. Was an aberration. And we have every right to straighten him out. Every right to comment. Every right to straighten him out.
Well, that pissed me off so much. The comment I left on fakeologist.com is I said, no, I won't repeat it. But anyway, it was short and to the point.
Get on Jaredism's chat, and he has the YouTube chat. Try and get on and directly if you want.
I'm not overly interested in the whole flat ball earth thing. I'm glad that there are others that are have taken it on board. Like even John Le Bon has taken it on board and wants to run with it. Fine.
That's why you should listen to it. Jaredism doesn't just talk about that. They talk about clues for him. They talk about all kinds of stuff.
All right, then.
Go all over the place. Hardly bring up flat earth. It's not really the only thing they're saying. The point is they are close to getting it like we do.
That's where I've gone wrong then. But I haven't given it much time because it doesn't interest me.
No, it does, though, because you don't like NASA. Is the number one PSYOP right now. Besides the shooting.
I got you. So, I think it's when people get into the math of ball and the flat.
Well, I don't understand the math either. Lost.
Not at all. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I just think I'm wasting my bloody time. So this Jaredism stuff
but you know
is what?
I think it's not meant to make sense, buddy.
All right. Well, I'll go back and I'll the Jaredism stuff ago. If you suggest that I do, I'm going to take your advice.
Heard of non-Euclidean geometry?
I know Euclid's algorithm where he counts from 1 to 1,000, bang. That's about it.
Jaredism said non-Euclidean geometry where a triangle can have three right angles, and it's called a spheroid angle. I didn't understand. I was having hard visualizing it because I wasn't watching his video. That's the
sounds
kind
like
of
a platonic
nonsense.
Platonic solid. It makes as much sense as a platonic solid.
I know, it does. It makes no sense, I know. And that's what he was saying.
Pythagoras,
that's the kind of
always with the triangles, Pythagoras,
said that's the kind of language NASA is using.
Oh, gobbledygook. Gobbledygook.
Yes. Meant to lose you.
Yeah.
Meant to lose everybody.
All right. Well, I'll take you on board. I'll give Jaredism another go. I'll give him, because he's up to how many? 11 or 12 of these now? He's prodigious.
Two different shows.
Yeah,
one is the Globusters.
Globusters.
One is the ISS viewing party.
Which one do you suggest? The Globusters one. Globusters one is the one you're suggesting, or both?
Both. Right. Oh, I can't tell the difference after I listen to them. I don't really remember which one I'm listening to. Well, every time they talk about the. Yes, I know they're not topic, but they go all over the place.
Well, I'll do what John Le Bon does. I'll rip the audio and I'll go for a nice walk and I'll listen to them.
I do.
Yep. The boys haven't shown up yet. I thought they'd be here already.
One install came by and said he can't come by.
Oh, he can't make it today. Oh, fair enough. All right. Well, that's that gone
lobby.
Then. Well, there's that all that work gone then. I cut up all the, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do it with him. I sound a little bit cranky now, but that's okay.
All right.
Lifeticon still there?
Hello, yeah, I'm still here. Still
there
reading
he
about the Oregon shooting and whatever else, yeah.
Yeah, have you got the thing on the Oregon?
Learning.
Have you got the press release on the Oregon shooting?
Yeah,
not
there's
Obama
one there from
stuff.
The Telegraph. But there's he supposedly foreshadowed what he was going to do using it's a website called 4chan, whatever that is. And it's kind of like some sort of chat forum, and he's kind of saying, don't go to school tomorrow, guys, if you're in the Northwest. And he was leaving messages there saying he was going to gun down his classmates, and supposedly anyway, but it's all done anonymously, and they're not even naming the alleged shooter to this day, you know, even now, hours later. But anyway, whatever. It's kind of clear that this it's a massive psyop, and, you know, what's his name, Obama, is kind of all over it. He's given quite a number of press statements about it now, and maths has been done that, you know, sort of saying how many shootings have been over the last 5 years, and there's equivalent to one mass shooting every fortnight, every 2 weeks. There's 172 cases of mass killing involving four or more dead every fortnight. So it's kind of, what can I say, a sustained propaganda operation that's gone on now since, you know, for at least every fortnight, 172 cases of mass killing of four or more since 2006. So anyway, whatever, just a number crunching a bit, but it's certainly having its knock-on effect. But anyway, they kind of left a weak point in this one, in that saying that in the state of Oregon, you have to be 21 to own a gun, and therefore this shooter, this alleged shooter, this supposed shooter, was only 20, so it wouldn't really have mattered what the gun laws were, and if he existed, he would have been breaking them anyway, breaking the laws anyway. But they're linking it in with Adam Lanza, the guy who supposedly carried out the Sandy Hook shooting, which is pretty well exposed, you know, in many quarters as being another hoax. So, and then there was another shooting that they're linking it with in terms of its scale and everything else and its horror. Black Church in South Carolina, where 9 people were gunned down by somebody. I don't remember this name, but the alleged shooter in that case was called Dylan Storm Roof. Somebody's called Dylan Storm, as in storm cloud, and then roof.
No, it's an illusion. It's a reference to Trump, the white nationalist site.
Oh, is it? Oh, I see. It's just like a. I see. So there was kind of like, yeah, they, you know, sort of announcing it was a black church and whatever.
Anyway. They use these subtle linkages to words. Oh, they
I
love
see.
Words.
As in Stormfront, in other words.
All right, look up Stormfront. That's a well-known white nationalist site.
Uh-huh. Oh, I get it. Sorry. Rather a naive
stories
question.
Stories are all retreads. They're all they just spread the same ideas.
Yeah,
I wonder
if they're
ever going to have an effect. I worry.
Well, sitting in Europe, we kind of look at it and think, I mean, pretty much everyone you'll speak to will say it's kind of frightening, the idea that there are people walking around with firearms anyway. But we've been so institutionalized into thinking it's acceptable, you know, it's not acceptable to carry a firearm. We're so far removed from the American thinking.
User joined your channel.
We're lost, as it were. Hello,
user
Rochelle.
Left your channel.
Hello.
Yeah.
I saw her. She's a cracker. I've got no problems with people carrying firearms. I mean, not a problem. I mean, most people are responsible. This thing really does smell psyopy all over the place, doesn't it, mate? It stinks.
Definitely. Yeah, sure.
Stinks, sure. And Obama over it like a bad smell. This is. And I can only bet what Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks is going, oh my God, there's another school shooting. Hasn't done an ounce of research like that woman who was shot point blank, where our friend Conscious Vegan, who owns a Glock, says, hollow points, and yeah, what we saw is just impossible. I'm shit, man.
Everyone said that.
Yeah, but actually, did you see PK's numbers on that video? They went from 5,000, he's up to over 700,000 on that video. He's done a really good job on that, I thought, and kudos to PK22. Yep, 5,000 the night we spoke about it with Conscious Vegan, the first night we met him. Remember that night? You were there, Psyopticon. You were talking about Piltdown
Man,
yeah, or something.
I do remember it, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good memory for those sort of things.
Good on him.
Yeah, yeah. So he's up to 700,000, over 700,000 on that video. YouTube makes it sort of like, oh, you've got to click because there might be some offensive content or something. I don't know what that's all about. They at least haven't dragged his channel, but... thank you to Conscious Vegan, who owns a Glock and told us about the ridiculous nature. If you're shot point blank, you're not running away. You just go down. That's what happens. Anyway, that's a bit dark. Anyway, back to you, Si. So,
yeah, I'm just looking at this Daily Telegraph. I think I'll put a link in there. The minute by minute blog of the number of statements that Obama has actually made. You know, we're only up to just gone. Well, it's London time, but it's just gone 10 to 1. And Obama has been making statements every 10-20 minutes, you know.
When did the story break? When did the story break? So let's just tell everyone at home.
Go back to the very beginning. It doesn't say. Let me think. It's 7:28 London time. 7:28 p.m. London time, whenever that was. Obama couldn't have come out with so many different statements. He's citing the UK and where else does he live as proof that the gun control is essential, and how there are no mass killings in Britain as proof that gun control works, as it were. And Australia as well. There we are. How can you, Obama? Quote. 11:27 London time. How can you with a straight face make the argument that more guns will make us safe? Obama offers Great Britain and Australia as examples of countries that have implemented gun laws that have virtually eliminated mass shootings. Anyways, it's one statement after another. I don't know where he's actually issuing these. He must spend his time permanently in front of a camera, giving another update every half hour or so.
That's great information.
My account says, whoever Mark Noller is, President Clinton, sorry, President Obama, this is the 15th shooting incident at home or abroad on which President Obama has made a statement. So, I mean, he said it himself. There's a quote somewhere where he said this is becoming a routine now or something, making these kind of, it's obviously a big one that they've got, wrote the Potos himself into it.
You did a good job the other night. You brought up a guy. You brought up the other night a guy called Joe Biles, and I haven't thought about him in a long time. I've read a lot of his work on Port Arthur. Yeah. He did a lot of work on that. Joe Biles. Uh-huh. I don't think he's with us anymore. I think he's since passed on. But he was an older man, and. We had a massacre down here in Tasmania that got a lot of guns out of society, but not really. They're still there, but Obama to be it's just hideous, isn't it? That what are they trying to do? Are they trying to get guns? I mean, the gun industry in America is huge. It's, I don't know what that shit's
they're trying
about.
Just a gradual. A generational thing that they're trying to affect. They keep grinding away. It might wear on the psyche. Want to create an uprising to get rid of it. It's a huge undertaking. Huge undertaking. They almost need a shooting a day to do it, and it might work at that rate.
Well, look, in Canada, there's more guns per capita, isn't there? In America, I mean, a lot of people own guns in Canada. So, but where's these big shootings in Canada? This doesn't make any sense, does it? Opticon?
I don't know. I've never really studied it. I mean, we still get shootings in Britain. I've lived a million miles from Birmingham, which is supposedly the sort of gangster capital of the West Midlands, and so shootings. I'm sure most of them, 95% of them, are cooked up anyway, fabricated, just to keep that divide between the black community and the white, white people. So there are black gangsters, sort of drug-related shooting. Shooting from the Sparkbrook area tonight. It's like the TV every few nights. But they're made up, so I don't know how Obama can actually claim. We've certainly had a few.
They're
intentionally divisive to create,
Right.
But hello, Lumberjack. Oh, yeah.
Lumberjack. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. All night and I work all day. Wear women's clothing.
Hey, Rolo, try and grant them talking power.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, you're right. Grant talking power. There you are. There you go.
Hey
lumberjack.
Going? Yeah, hey, talking back well. At you. So I'm muted, man.
Muted. How you doing, man?
Hey, good.
Nice to see you here.
I thought there might be some people in here tonight.
We were going to get uninstall media, but apparently he couldn't come by, so a bit of a shame. But it was nice chatting with you yesterday with you and Babette, and yeah, it was fantastic. So here we are in the live stream.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. So what have we been talking about, Ab?
Oh, we're talking about all kinds of stuff. The Oregon shooting is on deck right now because that's what they want us to talk about. Must talk about it.
It'll be big news tomorrow if you follow the news.
Heard it's news today.
Oh, yes, it happened. It'll be on tonight in the nightly news, and then you'll hear about it all day tomorrow or all that.
Yeah, well, I won't hear about it because I ain't listening. Yeah.
For you. I'll hear about it secondhand from other people at work.
Well, that's what they want. That's the kind of conversation they're trying to start. That's what culture creation's about. They want to give you... They know you only have precious few words to exchange with your coworkers. They want those words to be their words. That's how it works.
Oh, it'll just be mentioned in passing where I work. People don't keep up with the news too much, but it's not like they're real news junkies. But yeah, I'll probably hear about
yeah.
it.
Well, again, it's just few words will be their words. Trying to create an impression that lasts and lasts and lasts.
Maybe I'll get another opportunity to tell somebody else. I really don't believe that. I've been known to do it before. Those will be my words.
What happened? Chew, one chew. Anyone here?
Hey, everybody. Don't everyone talk
to me. I just went to the can, man. Come back and everything's gone quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You upset?
Well, there was some good news earlier about that news. It turns out five of the people that were thought dead, evidently they were just shaken up a little bit and they're going to be okay.
Good. That is good news.
That's good news.
You talking about the
Oregon
thing?
Maybe it was just two. Yeah, I mean, it was still maybe oscillating back and forth, you know, the numbers.
Can I tell you the dumbest thing I've ever said? It was yesterday, wasn't it? Now, is Tennessee in Texas?
Oh, wait a minute. You did try to say that.
You remember? I never heard.
Well, it could fit in Texas three times.
So, Ab, you would have heard... Uninstall Media and Lumberjack Greg laugh when I said that yesterday. Oh my god, it was awesome.
Well,
I went. I've since learned that Tennessee isn't in Texas. So thank you.
But it could fit it in Texas three times though.
Oh, many times over. Yeah.
So we were going to.
What is the motto for Tennessee besides Memphis and Nashville? Do they have a state motto?
Wow, Ab. You stopped me on that one. I should know that.
Well, usually it's on the license plates.
Oh, I don't think there's anything like that on the license plate.
Day when slogans were big in advertising. Everyone had a slogan for everything.
Right. Well, the state song's Rocky Top. I've heard that so many times it gets really annoying after a while. Play that at football games.
Is there anything exciting happening in Tennessee, Dave?
No, not that I can think of. Pretty quiet day for me.
How about in the last month? It doesn't exactly make the news.
No. Let's see, over the summer they had a strange one that happened locally. There was something I think was probably a drill of sorts where there's a train derailment. It wasn't a national news thing or anything. Supposedly evacuated 5,000 people, and I'm thinking the sheriff's department down there in that hick town is like, there is no way. All in all, it didn't make any sense at all. Yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah, there was a train derailment on Wednesday night. The previous Sunday, a 21-year-old man that got hit by the train, and at the exact same place where there was a train derailment 3 days later. What are the odds?
Guys still talking. I just had to go out and see my next door neighbor.
Oh,
still
sure.
On yeah, I missed yeah. it. Have you guys been chatting away? Have you?
Oh no, we haven't said much. Hey, bro, okay. Did you ever find that commercial for the Duty Commandos?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've got it. I've got it. But kind of wanted to discuss it with the creator.
Oh yeah. Well, it would be nice. Well, actually,
I just thought it might be
that one.
A good sort of thing for a show.
It's a good thing to James. Say. I'm glad you got to listen to that. You know, you could play it right
fantastic.
At the end of the recording here or something, just for fun. Good way to play us out.
Yeah, yeah. I could shut up, play it out with the Judy. Oh, God. It is just, yeah, it's a really, really excellent piece of work. Yeah, I don't think words can describe how good it is.
Yeah, Uninstall did two or three of them that were really good, and, yeah. And Chris and John
pizza,
did the last
pizza 9/11 one too, yep, and the diapers. Yeah. I love the way he cut up Alex Jones. That was the best part of it, I think.
Right, yeah, Chris had quite a, I don't know what his sound morphing or whatever that he did. It's like, I could tell it was Chris's voice, but just barely.
Solid stuff. That's what we need. If you don't get a laugh out of some of this stuff, which is pretty dark subject matter, you need a sense of humor. You have to have one. Otherwise,
yeah.
It can really be really debilitating, if that's the word. Anyway, we've got a new psychiatrist. No. You know the difference? Psychiatrists can give drugs. Psychologists work on the mind. I don't know if she's either of those two, but Master of None, Mon Jane, she's known.
A trauma therapist, I believe she said.
Yeah, trauma therapist. The welcome new addition to the Fakeologist Club, if you want to call it, family.
Yeah, she talked for a little bit last night. I was just listening in at the time. I wasn't really in that conversation, but...
That's right. You said they were having a chat in the lobby. They didn't get away that night, correct?
No, I was just saying, we had the chat in the lobby last night. I was just
listening in. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. In the lobby, yeah. Mm-hmm. I lose. Sometimes I don't know whether I'm Arthur or Martha sometimes. So, yeah. And are you at liberty to say what she had to say? Or you'd rather not?
Oh, I don't know. She didn't have too much to say. She just chopped in for 5-10 minutes and left. I think somebody else was talking about something else. Was it Geo Free or whatever?
Jeffrey. Jeffrey, he's a great guy.
On a roll, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. What was the funny thing yesterday to me? I mean, there's only a few things that I find amusing these days. Oh, that's right. Babette was talking and you guys were like listening in, like I was lurking. And then I just went, I haven't been invited into the conversation. For fuck's sake, get in the conversation already. I like that. I thought that was, that's just, brutal, but, great. I like people like that.
So, yeah, I remember source. That. That was funny.
Good source. And yeah. So are you, mate. You know,
Well, I don't know if anybody else heard it, but I talked to her for about an hour or so before anyone else came in and joined us.
I mean, if you've got something to say, I mean, she's pretty brutal if you don't back up with what you say with, some intelligent remarks. But I like people like that, salt of the earth. Nothing like her.
Yes, I mean, she has very strong views about things, and she's highly intelligent and articulate. Mm. Yeah, and
absolutely.
And if you want to hear her, you have to come into the Fakeologist audio chats because she won't be recorded, so she's an exclusive that way. But you can come in and talk to her.
Yep. She'll be in the lobby there and absolutely give you both barrels of and the skillet and the 22.
The skillet and the 22. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
I like people who can make me laugh these days. The older and older I get, it's harder and harder to get a laugh out of me. No, like a real one, not just a fake one.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That was good value. I really appreciated that chat.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Well, for those who aren't in on the joke, we were just talking about NASA, and I just told them they needed to get a, you know, Tennessee tomboy type girl up there, you know, cute redheaded thing with a 22 and a skillet, shoot one of them squirrels and fry it up, see if they're any good. The Martian squirrels.
Right, and I said to her, I said, if that audio that I recorded that ever saw the light of day, she was going to take that skillet, shoot me with that 22, and fry me up and eat me.
Yeah, Babette, yeah. Did she say that? I don't even remember.
I did say that. Got a good laugh. Yeah, why not?
Well, she made a comment along those lines.
Yeah, it was great. Nah, she's good. Good sauce. All right. If I've got much more to say, is Ab must be busy at the moment, so Opticon, are you still there, brother?
Hello, indeed I am. Yep, just still wandering all over the internet as I listen to you two. But,
have you learned anything new since we last spoke?
No, not at all. I've taken Ab's, a leaf out of Ab's book and put that
Oregon PSYOP on the back burner. It's too depressing to actually read it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, so I've nothing new from me, I'm afraid. So there's a nuclear story. They want to build a new power plant in Britain and at Hinkley Point, where there's already two already, I think. And it's strange how this is actually being done with, like, the Chinese are going to actually build it. So I'm kind of wondering how the finances work there, if you think of them as just giant scams, you know, with billions flowing into the construction costs and then subsidised electricity thereafter. But I don't know. You're nuclear free, isn't it, Australia? You haven't got a plant, have you?
No, we've got a up at Heights there in Sydney. I forget the place, but it's not a power plant, supposedly, or it's just a nuclear type
processing
research type thing. But I tell you what, we did have down here a lot of new, probably back in the '50s. Do you remember this Psyopticon that they came down here and they were lobbing nukes in the middle of Australia and doing all sorts of things like that?
Really?
They
were trying to. No, it's before my time. But I certainly studied.
Maralinga, it's called. Maralinga.
Yeah, sure. We're much the same age, aren't we, Rolo? But
yeah, mate.
I was thinking you as a senior.
I don't remember
though.
That. I've read
they
about
are
the history
about,
of nuclear testing.
They are talking about bringing nukes to Australia for power. That comes up now and then. I think it's on the blotter. First they say they're good, then they say they're bad, then they say they're good for global warming, then they say they're bad. Total seesaw all the time.
Yeah, I follow the some of the nuke stuff sometimes. Evidently, there's an initiative in Australia where Australia is going to put forth the proposal to store lots of nuclear waste. Have you heard about that, Rolo?
I have. Yep. Yeah, we've got a lot of. I think it was in South Australia that agreed to take that on board. Go, Lumberjack. Yeah, what are you going to say about that?
Well, I just remember hearing about that.
Look, South Australia is a crazy bloody state. I mean, they're the ones that build the submarines. You know, those crazy boats that supposedly go under and shoot torpedoes and...
You guys listen to the submarine guy on Mark Sargent's show?
Tell us.
I saw that post. I was thinking about turning that to an MP3.
I was just reading that, and you kind of challenged him over it.
Unreal made a post about Unreal like submarines. Unreal is speculating that submarines are not as we're told, and I agree with him. And allegedly, or Mark Sargent had a submarine on his show. Unreal was language and saying, I don't think you drive a submarine, looking for clues to see if this so-called seaman was or he was just a bad marine seaman actor pretending that he was on a submarine. And I tend to agree with Unreal that it looks like, sounds like he's a smartest. And that could lend credence to the fact that this whole Mark Sargent discussion is a giant psyop. I'm open to that. I'm still listening for clues, but I'm open to it.
Yeah, Mark's quite the entertainer, isn't he?
He's a good talker.
Yeah.
Good talker. I don't know what Rolo thinks. Rolo's a big talk radio. Rolo, do you think he's a good talker? Talks a good game, or you're not paying attention due to the subject matter?
I'm paying attention. I listened to Mark Sargent. He was on the Monster Aberrato call. Obviously, he has him and Eric DeBay have issues, so I don't know what that's
manufactured
all about,
issues?
Well, it could be. I don't know. I couldn't understand why Eric didn't turn up to that last Ball Earth spec. I mean, that pissed me off, actually.
Maybe it created drama.
Well, it created drama with me, because I was enjoying it. Not that I have much interest in Ball Flat.
You and everyone else.
I like personality.
Drama's important. Drama's important.
Personality.
Yeah, and that's important for drama, because it creates tension and part of the whole, if it's a psyop, could be.
But I like substance under it as well. It's like John Le Bon when he's basically become a fakeologist now. You know, there are people like him.
Good.
That I knew that it was good value, and now he's being sort of the ridiculous attacks on him. I just fuck me.
Must mean that John is flying over the skid.
I think they're
John is flying over the target. All they can do is disparage his good name. They can't address one thing John says. Attack the person. It's classic ad hominem logical fallacy.
Yeah.
And John speaks too well about too many things. Attack the person. That's it.
Well, I'm glad he's joined, it seems wholeheartedly now, joined the fakeologist community. And I'm glad about that. It's just, yeah,
good
luck.
Doing his Australian round table difficult because they're talking about news and he's quite on board with the fact that most news is manufactured and it seems silly to talk about it if it's so contrived and manufactured. And I know that's probably weighing on him heavily when he hosts his Australian roundtable.
They still take it from an angle, not quite as fakeologist, but they still do take it from an angle where it's basically lies and lies politically
motivated lies.
And it's a lot of there's a lot of depth in the Australian roundtable podcasts. I mean, they've done tons and tons of work to do that. So. Let's not take away from anything that Ethan and Lindsay and John have done.
Oh, I agree.
On that
they've
thing.
Done a lot of alternative work, but
there's nothing we can take away.
In the last few episodes, John Lebon is a little tired of the discussion because now he's so aware of the extent of the fakery, talking about these things. Point. And
having
I think he's having
a good time over here, though. Can tell he's having a good time. Even when he said Frank sort of got in the way with the Dallas Goldbug stuff, he still enjoys a good argument, rational or not. That was great. Well, I listened to that twice. It was too much fun. Anyway, over to you, Lumberjack.
You, Psyopticon.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Go ahead, Lumberjack. Lumberjack, have you ever visited the Oak Ridge nuclear area, nuclear power plant there, apparently.
There's power plants around, and then there's Oak Ridge and the nuclear facilities at Oak Ridge. I've not been in any of them.
But that was one of the areas of the whole nuclear hoax.
Oh, yes.
See, by the way. Hello.
Right. Yeah, it was, yeah. I think I talked to you one time. I was trying to say, there's a really good SMJ post that's on your...
Yes, SMJ, fantastic.
The nuclear family post. I think that's probably my favorite post ever. I was always curious about, with
Find it and drop
and
the
all.
Link.
Huh?
Find it on the website and drop the link.
I'm not at my computer right now, but actually all you have to do is just... If you're at a computer, just type in the nuclear family into your search. It'll find it.
Oh, good. Thank you.
It's that easy. Yeah, I thought he nailed it as far as probably the reality and the false reality of what went on at Oak Ridge. I think that theory makes lots of sense. Sort of a social experiment.
SMJ is great.
Yeah, yeah. But the idea that they had a social experiment, and of course the people, there's a mentality back in that day where the idea of socially experimenting on people was pretty rampant anyways. And, they had all these gals and they paid them a salary and it was almost like a psychological experiment thing. And they're operating equipment, and they really were lots and lots of people that worked there. That I can vouch for. What they did is another story.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought it was good because, if depending on your fakeology point of view, you go, well, wait a minute. Maybe that, Oak Ridge is not like real the way we think it is, or maybe there really weren't all those people working there. Well, I would say, yes, there were. And SMJ explains it rather well.
Yeah. Well, he explains the myth very well.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Oak Ridge, Tennessee, there was like nothing there. It was so hick backwoods, like in the middle of nowhere, and it's literally a city constructed by the United States federal government.
Yes, exactly. Island of federal money and psyopery.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, back in those days, they were so into, you know, socialist experimentation, they, like, created their own city from nowhere.
Did they bring their own people in, or did they hire local yokels?
Both. Both. Well, I mean, you know, good paying jobs come to Oak Ridge, you know. And then they had, of course, all the people that probably SMJ, you know, posts about from Kodak and the universities and, you know, all that. The scientists and the kind of pseudo-scientist types and whatnot. In the military, of course.
Yeah.
There's still good jobs in Oak Ridge. A lot of security guards and stuff. If you've got the Q clearance or whatever, they're always looking for security clearance. Yeah, nice work. I wish I had a Q clearance.
What do you call it, a Q clearance?
I believe it's like that. Yeah, it's like a requirement for a job. And for there's always hiring security guards.
Yeah. Thing.
And they've been, of course, trying to, you know, environmental cleanup of Oak Ridge has been an ongoing thing for 50-something years of all the contaminated sites.
End.
Oh, never, never, never end, never end. Yeah, I found one time looking into it, there's a bunch of interviews of all kinds of people, and they interviewed the I think they called him the historian, the official historian of the city of Oak Ridge. And he made some really strange comments talking about, you know, refining the nuclear material right up before they built the bomb. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm just listening.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's this one I've been meaning to, you know, start making some clips and stuff like that. But he's literally talking about, you know, SMJ might have said something about it. I can't remember. He might have posted something about it. But he's talking about, you know, they've got this setup where they've got this mystery man that takes the uranium, refined uranium, you know, in a suitcase, and he gets on the train. It's a funny story. But, you know, right up before they built the bomb, they were scrambling to get more and more uranium because they were behind schedule and production. So at one point, the idea was that, well, they had all this water on the roof of the building. They would just try to get extra uranium out of the water on the roof of the building. That makes sense, doesn't it? Anyone? And he further elaborates on the story where it's sort of funny because in order to drain the water off the roof of the building, they had this guy up there with a pickaxe making a hole in there so he could siphon the water out. And then he accidentally made a hole all the way through the roof and it, you know, poured water all over the records building and stuff. It's really a funny story just to listen to with your thinking cap on and go, that is the most bunch of bullshit I ever heard, you know.
So what do you think the purpose is? Do you think they're just playing with if anyone is paying attention with their bullshit story?
Well, that little story, I don't think it's in the media anywhere to any large extent, but it's part of our quote-unquote history.
I think it's put there for any researcher to stumble upon and like an Easter egg discover and really confirm that what they're researching is complete BS and it's just a big joke. That's the way I look at it.
Not sure where you're going with that, but...
Well, it's a funny, stupid, silly story. Here we're talking about some imaginary, highly toxic element that's dangerous, that could blow up the entire world, and we hear this dumb pickaxe story, which is at complete odds with the gravity of the situation.
Yeah, it was. He told it like it was an amusing story, like, oh, yeah, oops, we screwed up and we dumped water all over the records building and, you know, all this stuff. And it was just a funny story. He told it that way.
That's a farcical story that really is part of the farcical story that is nuclear. Nuclear science is a farce. Farcical.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of farce going on, yeah.
It's all farce.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Supposedly, you know, you mine the stuff out of the ground, but when you really need a lot more, you drain the water off of the roof and refine that, obviously. You know, I'm like, what?
Obviously, the whole thing is a big, fat joke. I have yet to visit it, but we have a town like Oak Ridge here, allegedly... They supposed to be a nuclear town, and I think there's some uranium. I don't know exactly what this town is, actually. It's involved with the uranium industry to some extent. I don't know what. There was one town that actually closed, village area, and it's in one of those abandoned towns. And in my province, I didn't even know it existed until someone told me the other day. Say, oh, yeah, there's an abandoned town because it's got radiation, high radiation
levels.
They
have to evacuate people because of radiation, really?
They closed it. Ah. And it's still, I am going to go look at it very shortly and take pictures.
Yeah.
You can look it up if you, you're not anywhere. Are you on a computer?
Not at the moment. I'm on the phone, but...
How about Psiopticon? Are you on your computer?
I can be on my computer in a minute.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, sure. Yeah, just looking through fakeologist.com where Felix, who I haven't heard him on the radio for ages, has opened up an interesting thread on what does he call it? Heli hoaxes, helicopter crash hoaxes, which we've had another spate of.
Well, actually, can I turn your attention to this nuclear abandoned town in Ontario, Psiopticon? Would you mind?
You can, yeah. If you put a link to it or whatever. What's it called?
I don't have a link because I'm mobile, but it's called Wesleyville, Ontario.
Wesleyville?
Wesley, Wesleyville.
Oh, I've got it, Wesley,
look it up.
Hang on. Wesley, Newfoundland. Is that it?
No, Wesleyville, Ontario. I live in Ontario.
Sorry. What are we going on here? Wesleyville, Ontario. There we are.
Type abandoned towns.
I think I may have heard about that, unless you've got another one called something similar. Let's have a look. So, it'll take me a little while to read that. But it dates
back to the 19th
abandoned. Century.
It's an abandoned town because it of high radiation levels.
Right.
And so it's near another... Yeah.
So we're doubting that on the basis that radiation is probably a hoax in itself, you know, or background radiation is fairly common throughout many communities. But down in the southwest of England, Cornwall and Devon and Dorset sort of area, it's quite common for people to have radiation tests on their homes because supposedly the granite in the earth can actually sort of exude or emit radiation.
Yeah,
that
I
they
think there's natural radiation. Yeah, I think there is natural radiation. It's just that the deadly nuclear radiation is an extension of that, and that is the hoax. That's my thought.
Yeah, sure. I can quite believe it. Because I think I said on a chat a few days back, that we played around with radioactive isotopes when we were kids, 15-year-old kids at school. And, you know, we're no illness, as far as I'm aware. You know, we all live to tell the tale, as it were. But,
What's the go with this, Ab? Wesleyville is a ghost town hamlet snuggled between the old port hamlets of Port Britain and Port Granby. These two villages have a write-up below. They're located in the... Yeah, so what are you saying?
You're
about
in the right
this
place. It's boarded up because of high radiation levels. Now, there was a mine, I think, in the area for uranium, and I think it's called the El Dorado Mine. And it was taken over by another company called Camco. Can't remember what Camco stands for, C-A-M-C-O. But the whole town has to be – it's another one of those cases where the whole town called Port Hope, which is nearby, is also supposed to be contaminated, the mine.
Right.
Really in the heart of the whole nuclear area of Ontario. It's all one area.
They're spooky, those places, aren't they? The towns that have just been... Aren't they building, cities in China
spooky.
That... Yeah.
No, but it's spooky because I've never heard of it. I live here.
That's why you're going to go and take photos. Good on you.
Well,
I look forward to seeing
you. We don't have to go to Chernobyl. We got our own alleged Chernobyl. Now, it's not nearly as serious, but the point being, we got our own Chernobyl.
Yeah, not Chernobyl. It was called help me out here, Zoptikon. What was the name of that?
Fukushima?
Pripyat was a great, huge city that was just emptied. It was near Chernobyl. Chernobyl was the actual power plant.
The reactor, as it were.
Oh, yeah.
The the place, the spooky place that had all these tall buildings and it's all empty is really, it's all like weeds.
You mean near Chernobyl?
Yeah, near Chernobyl. Privet or something it's called?
I apparently go there on a tour now, like a sort of Google's holiday of visiting.
Well, now we know that nukes don't exist and radiation is a fiction.
Yeah,
oh, deadly radiation. We better qualify that. Deadly radiation.
Deadly radiation, yeah.
Somebody was saying how they'd been there. They'd, like, gone on their pilgrimage. Like, it's kind of like a Holocaust pilgrimage, you know, somebody was just telling me on. But anyway, they said they'd been to Chernobyl, and the guide walked them around and just waved a Geiger counter at the background levels, demonstrating the very high background levels in the area. But as Ab said, that doesn't really demonstrate anything. It's, you know, how do any of us know how many clicks are? You mean the difference between life and death, as it were? You know, it's
as I said from my school
experiments, we were just there were various things we played with, including this very yellow powder, yellow cake. You know, it's called yellow cake, uranium, some sort of uranium ore. And it was very, very high level, or compared to like the granite in a pencil, or whatever. You know, it's kind of like ticking very many.
Always like that. Iranian ore, something else.
Iranian ore, uranium. Some sort of oxide of uranium, isn't it? Were you
guys able to dig up any more on Wesleyville? There,
it's
nothing. There's very little about it.
It's called Pripyat. The town is called Pripyat. Pripyat, the abandoned city of Pripyat, keep going.
It's in the Ukraine, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Psyopticon, nothing else on what?
I can find various, nothing particularly looking at it from a scientific perspective. People saying that it was, you know, sort of telling the history of the abandonment of a community. But beyond that, there seems to be very little at all about the science behind what supposedly happened there or whatever. A nuclear waste dump.
So it doesn't really say anything, huh?
Ontario. So it was really, it was Port Hope, a processing. Yeah. So I wonder where this Wesleyville came from. That's the name of the nearby town, is it? Or the facility itself is called Port Hope, by the sound of it.
It's a few miles west down the road from Port Hope.
From Port Hope. Ah. I wouldn't like to say it was actually... I wouldn't like to say it. What can I say? Who was it who we were chatting with? Right up in the northern territories of Australia, there was a massive, what they call it, a uranium mine there, and there's dust blowing everywhere. The road, you know, the sides of the hedgerows, all the way down from where the vehicles supposedly take out the uranium ore in, what was the name? It was a funny name, like Granger or something or that, but one of the biggest supposed uranium mines in the country, and it was, and caused an incredible amount of environmental damage with a gouged hole in the ground and powdered what presumably is some sort of uranium powder all over the hedgerows and all down the sides of the roads and everything else. And we were flicking through Google Street View looking at it, looking at the access roads to this mine in the north of Australia. And it was difficult to see how that couldn't be extremely harmful to health if uranium is potentially, you know, very harmful to people, even in its natural form. How could it be that there were so little precautions taken to prevent sort of blowage of powder and extracted pulverized uranium ores and whatever else? Do you know what I mean, Rolo? Let me have a look at it. And have a look at the photos itself and look at Google Street View.
Don't forget, Psyopticon. Opticon, there's uranium and there's enriched uranium. There's a difference.
There's a difference. See how it could be anything. I mean, if we're told that the background radiation levels, we're told in the southwest of England, can be, you know, natural radiation can be sufficiently high that people have to dig their floors up and put plastic barriers in to prevent the release of radium gas coming up through their basements and everything. And it's difficult to believe that that could happen in an area where there's no uranium mining as such. There's no radioactive minerals that are actually pulled out. But yet in Australia, they can dig them out in vast quantities, or, you know, by the many hundreds of tons or thousands of tons, and yet seemingly cause no harm to nearby communities.
Here's a question. Am I coming through? You want to?
Yes.
Yeah. Is radium one of Madame Curie's elements?
Is it one of
radium, one of Madame Curie's mythical elements radiant that she discovered?
Supposedly, wasn't it? Or is this a trick question or whatever?
I'm asking if the radium gases is a hoax, too, because it's based on a mythical element.
Uh-huh. Well, it's beyond my level of science. You know, I quit that sort of study at 15, or, you know, whenever it was...
Hopefully SMJ will listen to this and kind of person that would that. Wondering, anyone ever looked into the idea that asbestos, is it really toxic and cause cancer? Does anyone have thoughts on that?
Yeah, because we ended up with a roof on some outbuildings that's got so-called asbestos roofing sheets over it, and there's thousands of pounds it would have cost to actually have them professionally removed and everything else. And you are actually allowed to remove them yourself, as long as you dispose of them properly. And it turned out there's multiple types of asbestos. There's what we call white asbestos, is technically, don't quote me on this, don't go snorting it or anything, but its proper name is chrysotile, and it's pretty much harmless. It's just it's a completely different mineral altogether from, I think it's crocodilite is one of the very harmful ones. These different minerals, white asbestos and blue asbestos and brown asbestos, are actually found occasionally in similar locations. So therefore, there's a cross contamination between white asbestos, which is used routinely in roofing and regular. I think it's even found in tobacco products, you know, in the filters and such like. That technically, chrysotile is one of the most harmless substances around. It's like, you know, it doesn't wouldn't do any good breathing it in large quantities, but it doesn't trigger cancers. And there was quite, if anybody wants to look into it, the Daily Telegraph, one of the newspapers in Britain, I guess probably acting on the interests of the so-called asbestos industry, pointed out that many of the asbestosis cases, around a quarter of them, occur naturally in people who've never been anywhere near asbestos. So there's a natural background of, you know, it's a wrongly labelled illness in itself. Like, asbestosis should properly be called something else, since it can be caused in one in four cases by something other than asbestos. So, but I came to the conclusion that brown and blue asbestos are potentially very dangerous. But apparently in Canada there was a... there's a chrysotile mine where white asbestos is mined, and the levels of asbestosis there and mesotheliomas are very low. They're no higher than anywhere else in the world. You know, it's, even though these people have been spending 30 or 40 years quarrying asbestos, white asbestos, at, you know, very high levels, and breathing dust and, you know, taking it home with them and everything else. But it's a scam, I would have thought. I would imagine it's a multiple scam on various levels with,
Opticon. It was part of the World Trade Center story.
Yeah,
you remember
very
that?
Much so. I wouldn't like to say that there wasn't a dangerous level of blue or brown asbestos, but what's traditionally used in building is white asbestos, the chrysotile. So, you know, maybe it was used in cladding in the heating system, if there was one. If, you know, we were pretty much now led to believe that there was nothing much in the Twin Towers anyway. So, did they even have any heating systems installed on all the levels that had nobody living in them and whatever? But, you know, so maybe...
I think so. It wasn't a complete framework, I don't think. But how would I know? We're in there. But my point is, I'm just asking questions. I have no idea that perhaps the asbestos angle, they said they had to blow up the buildings because too expensive to rehabilitate the buildings. This was just part of the myth. Was to blow them up, and I don't know if asbestos is just a real story that they decided to intertwine into the World Trade Center story, or if it's a mythical story to begin with. And know that the whole purpose of building something, unless we can find a reason to take it down, we can't keep building things. And of course, in the Middle East, it's just easier to bomb places and then send them the money to your companies to build them. So it's this constant building that is re-engineering or re-requiring that is economy rolling, especially the graphic, the sort of the illicit economy, as it were, where things really could be built and stay built and not need to be rebuilt, and therefore there's no money to be made. I hope I'm making myself clear.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure that makes sense.
as for the World Trade Center, maybe it was a case of specialist contractors would be the ones who actually removed, you know, from the rubble, from what was it called, killing fields, wasn't it, where it was all taken, and removed it all and, you know, processed it supposedly and sort of encapsulate it in something like cement or whatever to, you know, to prevent the fibres from blowing around, if there's any truth in it at all. But that's one of the aspects of the asbestos scam, is that there are very specialist contractors who are, you know, contracted to remove it from power plants. I lived next door to somebody, actually, for a while, and that was his job, and it was, you know, I'm sure it was a horrible job, climbing around in sort of voids of buildings, pulling out this asbestos fibres that, you know, I mean, it potentially is, you know, if it contained blue
what I'm
or
saying
brown
is,
asbestos.
Do you think they could... They could take a perfectly good building material, asbestos, and then make up a story that it kills people. So that requires all the buildings, which is almost every building, taken down or rehabilitated by a myth. Do you think it's possible?
Very much so, yeah. And there's cases where, like there was a plumber I read in the paper.
Would need to invent another material, put it in, and then they could... 100 years or 50 years down the road, make another story up about that material.
That's awesome.
Forget.
I think we kind of quite often overlook the insurance perspective.
Here's one more that's more obvious. Freon is the liquid in air conditioners. Right. Now, it's a very, very good chemical. It has very excellent air conditioning qualities. Now, they made up the whole idea, don't forget, that it was causing, when it leaked, was causing a hole in the ozone layer. So guess what?
Yeah.
They had to replace Freon with some very far less efficient coolant. Okay, but the point is it cost more money, it was less efficient, and all the Freon air conditioners in the world replaced.
That's right, and it wasn't the case where you could actually pull the Freon out and replace it in the same device with this new R22, I think they get these code names for them. And an engineer was telling me that, you know, there was a huge industry in actually collecting the Freon from discarded appliances and everything. It was a massive amount of money in multiple different ways made out of it. And sadly, you couldn't just take Freon out and put a new chemical in there, R125 or whatever it was. You had to actually throw the appliance away in its entirety.
That's my point. What I was saying, it created a whole industry.
It's human beings. Unbelievable. Well done, Ab.
It's quite
on the asbestos.
It's just a question. I don't know. I think it's a question that needs research. So hopefully people listening can possibly, because the number one Google search terms, the search words that are worth the most are mesothelioma. I can't even say it.
Mesothelioma,
because the government created a massive, massive fund lawyers can tap into and sue, get their 20 or 50% of the lawsuit. So they pay hundreds and thousands of dollars for anyone who lands on their page from that Google search, because they know the potential is very high that they can cash in potential client who claim they have that from asbestos. Reminds me of the 9/11 victims compensation fund. Same idea.
Yeah, in Australia, we had a football team. I was back in. I still support them, Parramatta Eels, and their major sponsor was James Hardy, and they were the ones that were the major makers of asbestos. Just thinking about what you've said, because they've that company has since fled Australia and gone up somewhere into Europe. And, maybe asbestos was just too good. And, and they had to get rid of it and put something less efficient in. Like, I don't know anything about Freon.
Well, listen to my VW story. I just heard that VW is now the largest automaker in the world. Now, North America is a gasoline continent. Diesel in passenger vehicles is not and never has been accepted. Now, I understand that VW's new engines, their turbo diesel engines, BMWs and Mercedes, the Germans, of course, very, very, it's quiet, has lots of power and torque is, in other words, what goes into the engine is usually cleaner than comes out, cleaner than gasoline emissions, and the mileage is double, triple. It's crazy good on their vehicles. Now, what a coincidence that a story comes out in the media in the last week says that VW on their emission test with the little software switch that told the engine it was plugged into an FAA computer to behave very politely, put the engine in a super efficient mode on the test. And software was supposed to be so smart that it knew when was plugged into the car, the test car. This is the story, and it has a story came out, as you know, the VW chairman, worldwide chairman, resigned.
Yeah, I read it, yep.
Diesel cars, highly efficient diesel cars, are no longer for sale right now in North America, and I think it includes Audi, basically any VW diesel engine. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, that, to me, of course, is a case of bigotry combined with corporate espionage, and essentially they're just trying to move cat and mouse where they are discrediting a highly official engine friend who drove down to Florida on a tank and a half of fuel that's 2,400 kilometers. Okay, and he had told me that story a week before the VW scandal, so-called scandal, broke. When I told him, he's the person that won't talk to me about media fakery because he thinks I'm nuts. Told him, well, here you go. Here's a possible case of media fakery that has real results, real corporate. Again, it's very efficient, smooth, clean engine that is probably a market killer for all the American car companies that don't have a diesel engine. They don't even have one, I don't think.
Yeah, well, American cars were so inefficient back in the day, and you know that happened. And the Germans have been bloody, how smart have they been? I think both those world wars, if they were world wars, trade wars anyway, because the British were just pissed off because they weren't as smart. Those Germans, they know how to build shit.
Well, my point is this, I think it's very similar. Very similar. Stories are all very similar. I think my idea that...
No. You're rocking. Yeah, you're rocking with that one.
Yeah, what's Volkswagen supposed to do to defend themselves against media fakery? If you're defending yourself against legal charges, you hire a lawyer. Who do you hire if you're being attacked by media fakery? If you've got a lot of money,
Feinberg.
Like Volkswagen.
Kenneth Feinberg, he does all the 9/11 and Columbine. You have to hire him.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you could hire him out and reverse the fakery and make it work out in your favor if you're Volkswagen and you're being attacked by fake stories. I don't know. How does that work?
I don't know, but you can't buy a VW diesel in North America today.
Yeah. Well, you'd think that there'd be moneyed interest involved in that would, like, in Volkswagen, for instance, going, we deal with this, we're being attacked by a fake story about, because it sounds really baloney. Like, do they really have this whole story about it? Is
this
it
might
fake?
Be.
I don't know.
The story is fake, of course.
I don't know much about cars. Is the VW diesel, it's still air cooled, is it, Ab? Not water cooled?
That'd be water cooled.
It would be water cooled, Rolo. It's, no.
VW.
I'm pretty sure.
VW's predominantly are air cooled. You know, your Porsche 911s and whatnot.
They're turbo diesel, so the turbo would probably have some kind of intercooler in it.
All right.
They're very, very, very efficient engines.
Refined. They're
don't
refined
think
engines.
The Americans make them.
And very power-packed as well. They're very, very pokey cars, you know. Even these small hatchbacks can... I had a girlfriend who used to go around at 100 miles an hour everywhere. She was like a crackpot behind the wheel, and she had a VW... Golf, just one of these, you know, pretty much a family hatchback, and it was incredible amount of power for a small car, and it was turbo diesel as well. So it would
they're all turbo diesel. Uh-huh. Point is, it addresses all the American concerns with diesel.
All the American concerns.
Yeah, Yeah. All the reasons why America buy diesel. They smell, they're noisy.
Uh-huh. And on the other hand, they pull 50 miles to the gallon instead of 25 or whatever, you know, with a similar petrol powered car.
They don't have the same get up and go, the torque, or whatever it is.
Well, they do
now. Get from 0 to 100.
They do.
Well, they do. Ironically, what's little known is diesel actually has a higher higher energy rating, like a higher calorific value than petrol, if you can release it. There's actually more energy.
Gasoline was a waste product from the distillation of diesel. Somebody just decided to use it, sell it, you know, just like fluoride is a waste product.
Oh.
Waste product, including fluoride, is from the aluminium business.
Wow.
Gasoline? Yeah.
Has anybody looked into... Sorry, guys.
Just a butt in. I've got to go. It's been excellent. Did you still want me to play out with one of those ads after you guys finish when I get back? Do you want me to play out with one of those, or do you want to add it on, Ab?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Do it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. All right? Over and out.
Bye, mate.
All right.
Bye.
Talking to you.
There you go. Rollo from Australia. Yeah, it's a little bit of corporate espionage. That's corporate espionage. Real espionage, because there's real money.
Yeah, well, there's money changing hands, I would imagine. That would be the real part, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's got me interested in W now. I never really was into it before, but now I'm going to start looking. Wonder if the price of the UWs has gone up or down.
No.
User in your channel timed out.
You got to wondering seriously that question. Like, if you have, if you're being attacked by a media hoax, and I mean, Volkswagen, presumably they have some money to defend themselves, in whatever manner of speaking. What would somebody do in that position?
Can they do if they don't control the media?
Bribe, I suppose.
What are they going to do? Come out and say it's a big hoax? I don't know why they capitulated and say, "Yeah, we're sorry we did it." That's the part that confused me a little bit.
Yeah, board
itself or the shareholders, you know, the senior figures within the board are actually nobbled as much as the people who are running the hoax in the media. Maybe the board, there's a boardroom coup, as it were, with people who are keen to drive the share price down or change ownership or push particular shareholders out or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, do you think they've been infiltrated? Maybe they're infiltrated at the top.
With what would you call them? Trojan horse directors, I think they call them, don't they? Where people have...
Competitors. The competitors infiltrated the board.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Or the senior shareholders, and, you know, there's a move there to whatever. I didn't really get what was going on anyway. I mean, what do they actually want Volkswagen to do? They said that it'll cost £50 per vehicle in Britain, whatever that means, to have them retested and such like, and presumably means that if you take your car in for a routine MOT, you know, a test of its emissions and everything else, then that potentially you could fail now on the basis that it was the motor was designed to cook the books in.
What it means, they say that
they could potentially order you to take the car off the road if the yearly check comes up and they've discovered how to actually disable the whatever this black box is in the engine management system that keeps the emission levels down during testing process. But I would have thought it's a routine.
They're now paralyzed. Right now, they're at a point of paralysis. We're waiting to find out what it means.
Huh.
Immediately, they know what it means. They can't sell their cars in North America.
Yeah. That's the key, then, was it?
I mean, how ridiculous is that? We're talking about what they're arguing about is decimal amount of NO, nitrous oxide. They're arguing about. They're saying you said it was super infinitesimal, and we measure it as only infinitesimal. Difference is. Absolutely, probably undetectable to anyone or anything in the entire world. They're arguing about almost nothing.
Right. I suppose as the vehicle's near the end of their
use, you know, their, what can I call it, their useful life, then this emissions cheating software, as they're calling it, it would come into its own, perhaps, keeping the car on the road.
No.
Normally,
no, no,
the emissions
you
test would have failed.
No. Whole scandal is emission scandal is this. I'll repeat it. Submitted their new cars for testing with EPA, as I understand it. And the EPA plugged in their testing devices into computers of these new cars computer detected that it was in test mode, and then optimized the settings of the engine to emit less than everyday values. That's it.
But I would guess that a car, you know, a vehicle tends to fail its emissions tests as it nears the end of its sort of, you know, its functional life. As the engine wears, and there's, you know, there's wear in the valve stems and the piston rings and whatever else. And I guess at that point, the emissions control system, whatever it's called, is perhaps would come in and become more useful insofar as it would be running the vehicle in a sort of knobbled mode. My car does that occasionally. If there's something wrong with it, a sensor's failed, then it sort of goes into this very limp mode, and all you can really do is just sort of like limp to the garage and get them to reset the computer and whatever.
Yes.
So I guess it's something of that.
Oh, yes, I understand. Yeah. No, it's not of that sort. We're talking about the initial tests pass to allow them to sell these vehicles. New emission, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about new vehicles. Of course, old vehicles pollute, and there's every year regulators force these manufacturers their vehicles cleaner and cleaner. Otherwise, they will not allow them sell their new vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
Sure. The target. It looks like they're not just going for Volkswagen. It's saying here that Audi and Skoda, which is I think part of the Volkswagen group as well, isn't it? Volkswagen,
for all
Audi
VWs.
So kind of like targeting.
For all VWs.
Yeah.
After the Germans. After
the VAG group, they call it.
Yeah. Because VW is poised to make a huge smash into the American market. Literally, in the gate before they even got out of the gate.
This has happened similarly in the telecommunications industry, where traditionally America has dominated with Cisco and Jupiter and whoever else. And the Chinese market has muscled in with companies like Huawei and ZTE and such like. And there was a PSYOP claiming that there was backdoors found in the telecommunications hardware that goes in our exchanges and in street cabinets and everything else manufactured by Huawei. And it was sort of a conspiracy theory that the Chinese had put backdoors in so as to be able to monitor American telecommunications from within. And it was kind of like just a protectionist policy to drive out the Chinese manufacturers and to keep alive, you know, the likes of Cisco and Jupiter, who are really feeling the dent in their sales and such like. So it's should be seen as a sort of protectionist attempt to safeguard the American automotive industry, what little's left of it, or the West, you know, the Anglo-American, whatever. But playing out over here as well, so it's clearly like pan-national, if that's the word. You know, it's vehicles over here are, you know, we're facing the aftermath of it as well. It says here it's only a particular type of engine, an EU5 engine, whatever that is. EA189, blah, 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 whatever that is. But, yeah, whatever.
Well, it's their most engine.
So there's going to be a huge... Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just looking at it. It said there's going to have to be recalls of the cars, which are going to have to be returned to their dealerships to undergo modification to sort of correct whatever has been done, as it were. But kind of small in one scale, though, because they say that over 1 million of these vehicles have been sold in Britain with this knobbled emissions testing system, yet in America only 482,000 have. So it doesn't seem like they make... Are they kind of becoming a sort of... popular family car, then, are they now, the Volkswagens in the States? They're surpassing perhaps the homegrown, you know, make marks or whatever.
Oh, that's my whole point. Diesel has made no roads, really, in America.
Diesels are not sold there.
They are sold, but they're not accepted as a great vehicle because of all the stereotypes
knocking.
Diesel. But now, if people catch on to how good they are now, it could cause serious damage to the Americans that don't have a good diesel engine.
Right.
I don't think you can just make a good diesel engine overnight.
Sure, it takes decades of research and whatever else.
Well, they could just buy all
That was the end of the British motor industry, with just buying other people's engines and putting them in so-called British cars that, you know, sort of had a notoriety for poor body work.
A friend of mine recommended a pickup truck. The pickup truck is the best-selling vehicle in North America. Said, what would you recommend of the American, because the American pickup trucks? He said, yeah, buy a Dodge, because they put Cummins diesel engine, German engine. They don't.
Right.
There you go. There you go right there.
Uh-huh. Politics of envy at work, perhaps, as well.
Diesel is a German word. It's a German guy. He invented the internal combustion engine, for God's sakes.
Diesel. Did you ever look into what happened to Dr. Diesel? He disappeared. He vanished into thin air. I wonder what I think he was kind of... I've got a strong suspicion he was simulated. He was... Just before World War I broke out, about 1912, 1913, he was supposedly took a ferry from Germany, from the continent, from Belgium or somewhere, across to Britain, where he was going to discuss the use of very large diesel engines in ships like the, you know, the cruise liners, like the so-called Titanic, and other vessels. Anyway, he never arrived in Britain. He was presumed to have jumped overboard. He supposedly died, owing hundreds of thousands of marks in personal debt. But I got the feeling
that
it was kind of... Yeah, he vanished. He vanished into thin air. Dr. Diesel.
Amusing.
Diesel?
Very funny.
Yeah.
You mean
he vanished. Yeah, he literally vanished across... on the cross-channel ferry, across North Sea ferry between the continent, you know, European continent and Britain, and he disappeared into thin air. Nobody ever saw him again. And, you know, there were people who said he didn't board the ship. There were people who were saying he did board the ship, and it was kind of like left at that. His body was never found nor anything else. But I did come to wonder whether he was a committee, as it were. Like, he was the design of the diesel engine, which I don't really understand, I'm afraid, but the design of it was perhaps not the work of one man, but it was attributed to some sort of heroic act of engineering, as it were, you know, from one person, whereas perhaps it was a committee of many, many people. But, you know, the diesel engine, it was it would tie
Mozart
in with what we think about German engineering. That
Mozart
really...
or Shakespeare?
Most what, sorry?
Mozart or Shakespeare? Brand.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea, Sir Opticon. Yeah.
I don't say that's a true story, but all I can say is the newspaper reports at the time said he'd literally vanished into thin air, and he presumed to have fallen or jumped or pushed off a ship, sailing into Britain.
Did you find that story in your archives, go to the archives?
Yeah, I did, yeah, because I was looking into the history of, the use of...
Titanic.
Sort of, and the way that the engine systems in large vessels, in large seafaring vessels, was changed over the years, you know, from... You know, coal powered to traditional. You know, then the burners were changed to, and then only finally were. It took a long time before the diesel engine was perfected in a very large scale to be able to be used on ships. Because prior to that, it's very small engines that in only sort of like small motor cars that the diesel engine could actually go in. And it was into the 1920s and 30s before ships. You know, after the Titanic, in other words, before diesel engines could actually be used in large. In large motors, you know, large motors could be made to power a large ship, but of many tonnage, you know. But yeah, anyway, that diesel just vanished. But there was something weird about the story, and it was kind of like in the build up to this, World War One, and therefore there was sort of a few question marks about whether he'd been bumped off because of his background or whether he defected to sort of join the British side. But I kind of think at a sort of a certain level of engineering or science. There are no national boundaries anyway. The sharing of so-called scientific secrets and expertise between, say, the West, in America and Britain and Russia at the height of the Cold War was, you know, pretty commonplace, I would have thought. So the idea that sort of Germany would hoard Dr. Diesel and all his expertise to itself was kind of unlikely. But I don't know. Maybe he just came to live in Britain for whatever reason and adopted. But the more you looked into it, the more you started thinking, like, he was... Oh, there were so many stories there that you're kind of, like, wondering...
It was sort of like they're turning him into a child prodigy as well, claiming that he was sort of inventing, you know, sort of diesel-type engines when he was quite young, you know, sort of 13. And I was thinking, I just don't believe that. You know, I don't believe these sort of romantic stories of a sort of an early day sort of Elon Musk sort of thing, you know, with a sort of, you know, with showing signs of genius at, you know, sort of young teen age and that sort of thing. And I don't know, whatever. I didn't study it for very long. It wasn't really what I was looking at, but... Yeah, the diesel engine.
I like
it's
that.
Got an interesting background. Yeah. We'll drive one now at the moment. It does like nearly 50 to the gallon, just a Toyota, but I don't know. It's noisy, you know, there are problems. It's kind of a loud engine when you're driving along, and it's, I don't notice anything of the emissions, of course, because you kind of don't worry when it's your own car, but, I don't know.
Drive a Toyota diesel?
Yeah, it's turbo diesel. It's a very small engine. It's too small for the car. It's only a 2.2, whereas I think the American model was of the same car was the same SUV was a 4-liter engine for the same size vehicle. So,
but they
over here in Britain,
is it diesel?
Yeah, that's the
trouble. I think it's diesel. I think it's diesel over here.
You don't. You say not in the smaller vehicles.
No. Well, we don't have any. Diesel just doesn't really sell over here.
The government over here, the British government, messes around with the taxation levels on diesel and petrol. So they drop the price because the price of petrol at the tank, about, you know, at the petrol station, is roughly about 80% tax. So the government has it within its power to make diesel very much cheaper than petrol. And, of course, that stimulates the sale of diesel engines. And then they'll flip it around the other way just to sort of snag everybody who's bought diesel engines and then push the price of diesel right up to counterbalance the loss of revenues and everything else. So, yeah, the government's always playing tricks with the price disparity between petrol and diesel in Britain, and people's buying of cars is affected by that. You know, it's they're pretty much, you know, even parity now. Petrol and diesel are about, I think it's about 110 pence per litre, whatever that is, in gallons and dollars and whatever. But, yeah, it's, certainly the second diesel car we've had.
A lot of people maybe miss is that Europe and I think the UK as well, probably South Africa, they have like a lot more taxes on
fuel
than you have in the United States and maybe in Canada.
Everywhere.
Much higher.
Taxation. They joke even like basic stuff. Somebody was saying that tampons have got VAT on, like a sales tax on them of 20%, you know, with everything, pretty much everything, any so-called luxury food stuff like chocolate or, you know, or sort of non-essential stuff, confectionery has got a 20% tax on it. And, yeah, it's everywhere. There's taxation everywhere. There's even taxes on things like buying insurance. So you get your car insured and you look at the bottom of the bill and they've added an insurance premium tax on the top. So the government taxes you for getting car insurance, which you've got to have, you know. You know, it's a criminal offence to drop. Yeah, so it's everywhere, yeah. And there's sort of loads of green taxes now and, you know, and such like. So, yeah. So there's probably, in a sense, yeah, that the something tied into there in that as well. I haven't really followed it too much. It's kind of like Volkswagen is, I don't know. I've never had one, never owned one. So I'm kind of turned a blind eye.
But the cost of, like, vehicle fuel in Europe and I think the UK as well is a lot higher than it is in the US and Canada.
It's probably dollars for pounds. Yeah. I can tell you exactly how much it is. It's $1.10. I'm sorry, £1.10 a litre. So I don't know how many. £1.10 in US dollars.
Like $2 or $3 a litre. That's much, much higher taxes than in the US. The grand total in taxes is like 45 cents a gallon, and a liter is, what is that, 2 or 3 liters a gallon or something? So that's massively more taxes than you pay in the U.S.
Yeah.
So fuel is a lot more expensive in Europe.
The petrol station nearest me, I just worked out in U.S. gallons, it works out $6.33 a U.S. gallon. That's how much I pay just up the road here in the nearest petrol station. And that's a cheap one, you know. It's kind of like $6.30 a U.S. gallon in Britain.
In
that's what
taxes?
We pay.
Holy
no, in total. In total, that's how much you drive away. $6.32 a gallon, U.S. gallon. Because the British gallon is different, you know, or whatever it's called, imperial gallon or whatever it is. Yeah, so
gasoline is $1.90 a gallon now.
Really?
Yeah. Rather.
$6.00.
$6.30 a gallon here, and that's diesel or petrol. Wow. It's the same price. Yeah.
That is. Yeah. I didn't know it was that high, but I knew it was a lot more expensive.
Yeah. All the haulages have gone out of business. You know, there was like a local haulage company just said, you know, we're chucking in our chips. You know, it's kind of like, and when we've got continental lorries coming into Britain, they, you know, they come off the docks or through the Channel Tunnel or whatever. They tend to fill up, you know, sort of in Poland or somewhere or other, and, you know, gingerly make their way all the way to Britain, trying not to refuel, because, you know, fuel is much cheaper on the Eastern Europe and in sort of former Soviet bloc countries and whatever, so they'll fill their tanks up before they even start coming this way. Yeah.
Wow. That is massive amount of tax. I knew it was a lot. That's a lot. Wow.
It's $1.67 a litre. And there's apparently 3.79 litres in a US gallon. So that's $1.67 a litre is what we pay over here. And that works out $6.32 US gallon.
Yeah. Versus my $1.95 down the street.
Holy unbelievable. There's a bit of a psyop in that. In Britain, they always make out that, you know, occasionally you get these so-called, what can you call them, like ad hoc petrol stations where somebody will just sort of set up and, like with a sort of a big tank on the side of the road, especially in Northern Ireland. And they always say it's terrorism related, but it's kind of people wangling the, you know, and they make out that, like, if you buying diesel or petrol, you know, from a black market, you're encouraging terrorism and Al-Qaeda and everything else.
From your channel.
Yeah. So, Ab gone, is he? Ab's dropped out. It just looks clear. But, so, I don't know how you're very lucky there. But then I suppose if you're driving around in a Chevrolet, you know, pickup with a 6-litre engine in it or whatever, it's kind of, you're perhaps using exactly the same amount to go the same distance, you know, but in terms of money-wise.
Yeah, it might work out the same, yeah. But that's why there's, I think, a big difference in automotive, the kind of vehicles that you buy in the U.S. versus Great Britain and Europe. I mean, if it costs you that much money for petrol, I mean, my God, that's going to make a big difference in what kind of vehicle you buy.
That's right. And the trouble is people go to the absolute extremes and buying the cheapest car that can possibly be imaginable, you know, like these so-called bean can quality cars, you know, where if they only need a slight clip, a slight prang, to high speed, and that's the end of you, really, you know, like sort of like the very cheap sort of hatchbacks that like youngish drivers have, you know, to get themselves on the road as quickly as they can and cheaply as possible. And they're pretty much lethal in a road accident, whereas, you know, good quality American-built, traditionally American-built, you know, decent pickup or something, it probably can sustain quite severe accident damage without, you know, the occupants losing their lives or limbs or whatever, you know. But yes, we've got to that extreme now where we're building shittier. Rather the Japanese are actually tend to be the ones who are sort of importing the very cheapest quality cars for, you know, maybe £3,000 or £4,000 for a new car that's just a bean quality thing, you know. It's almost, you know, three or five years down the line, it's kind of like fit for the scrapyard. It's you know, corrosion and everything else setting in. So, yeah, swings and roundabouts, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And, you know, if you're paying like four times as much for petrol, I mean, the kind of car you're going to buy is, you know, obviously that's going to be a big factor.
And people bugger. I'm afraid I'm guilty of it myself. We've got this app on the cell phone that will tell you where the nearest petrol station is, and of course, and what the price they're charging as well. So I kind of don't mind driving 15 miles to save like 2p on the liter, you know, sort of tuppence on the liter, when it's quite clearly a false economy with the, you know, with the cost of fuel to actually get to cheaper garages and everything. The whole thing is a cartel as well. It's kind of like, you know, the amount that the government puts on in tax, I think it's about 80% tax we pay. So the actual price of, wholesale price of petrol is just a fraction of that, 20% of that price. So, you know, the rest of it, the government is using as a revenue to, for whatever reason. They say they plow it into public transport and everything, but I doubt it. But, you know, it's kind of a tax on motoring, you know, very much.
Yeah, for some reason, it seems like anytime anyone would try to bring up the idea of raising the price of, you know, gasoline taxes or whatever, it doesn't seem to go over well, you know. I don't know.
I don't know how you've got away with that without the U.S. government doing just what the British did. Because I presume at some point the price of diesel or petrol in Britain was as, you know, reasonable as it was in the States. But mind you, that said, isn't it, South Latin America or,
you know, isn't it sort of, was it Venezuela when Chavez was the leader? It was something like 10p a litre or, you know, 10 cents a litre or something. He was kind of bribing his own voters to, you know, to stay in power by offering them very cheap fuel to, you know, as a sop or whatever. So I guess America isn't that cheap. And wasn't it Saddam Hussein or even the Saudi Arabia or wherever that was? Again, it was just pretty much cost price that was being charged there. Whereas I guess there's a good profit even for American oil, you know, petrol sellers, gasoline sellers. You know, the big, what do they call them? The Seven Sisters, isn't it? Well, they used to big oil companies. Was it the Seven Sisters? Something like that.
Called it after the supposed story about how they broke up Standard Oil, you know, and then it was broken up into the Seven Sisters that used to be Standard Oil, is the story.
Sure. So a very much, you know, Anglo-American dominated industry as well, really, isn't it? The oil industry with, you know, the Saudi, you know, the Middle Eastern oil producers tend to be just puppets of the West anyway, puppets of Britain and America anyway. So I guess there's well, at least that's what we've got to hear, I suppose. You know, they're talking about it, how it's sort of an economic warfare, the idea of actually keeping the price of oil, crude oil, down to damage Russia's exports, you know. But I don't know. I don't know how much of this is kind of like just game playing and everything else, you know, with economic tinkering here and there and sort of malevolent game playing. And,
Well, it's just quite strange, like how much the price of oil goes up and down so much, so radically. I mean, it's cheap now, $1.90 a gallon, but you know it's been up to $3.50, and you know, allegedly the price I pay would be close to market, I guess, with only 40 cents a gallon taxes. So, you know, that's a major change in price. Like it goes up and down so much, it boggles the mind.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think there's a huge amount of speculation, isn't there? They talk about these paper barrels, you know, where people are trading oil that they never take delivery of, and it's, you know, their speculation it sort of affects the so-called spot price and, you know, of actual delivery price of oil. So, you know, there's a whole tier of this is a fairly recent thing, a whole tier of speculation has introduced into the oil market with, you know, I think they renamed it, but it used to be called the International Petroleum Exchange in London. I think there's somewhere in Chicago, isn't there? There's like a trading bourse there for oil. And, you know, it's just city slickers, as they call them, like, you know, these spivs, these sort of, you know, sort of young, hot-headed young traders, oil traders, pushing the prices up and down and, you know, messing around with which is, in a sense, is very damaging to the economy if you don't really know where petrol's going to be, or gasoline, or even heating oil and heating, you know, home gas for the stove and for what, you know, for the central heating, etc. Is, you know, it's kind of like a lot of these things are bought in contracts, you know, future contracts where, you know, the price could potentially bankrupt you if the price collapses or soars a few months after you've signed a 12-month deal or something like that. So, yeah, it's a funny old industry. It's very corrupt, isn't it?
I mean, isn't it funny how, like, I mean, the production and consumption of petrol, I mean, doesn't change that much from, you know, 6 months to 6 months, from year to year. It's probably a fairly constant thing, but the price of it just goes radically up and down. It's
definitely weird. They've had a good clear out in America. I mean, I can remember being in the States, and there's kind of like the independent oil, independent petrol station, gas stations were still very much, a real thing, whereas in Britain they've stripped them all out. It's now just the big giants, like the big supermarkets like Asda or Walmart, you know, just running running the gas stations now, and the so-called independent gas station is no more, you know, with that personal service. It's all now very much sort of corporatized, and you know, the prices again are just it's all rigged. The whole market's rigged, really. I think it's just, you know, we're the suckers who just fill up whatever, come what may. We still have to, you know, fill the tank up at whatever price they want to charge. So it's we're at their mercy, really. Got to nip out a minute.
Yeah, it seems like over the years it used to be more and more independents in like the retail sale of automotive fuel, and it's been more and more consolidated over time, quite a bit, with the big corporate franchise gas stations taking over the mom and pop shops that used to be very popular.
It was employing an awful lot more people, I would guess. Now it's like
these vast petrol stations with, you know, dozens of pumps in them, and, you know, it's kind of moved up to sort of very, very commercial corporate level, you know, so the big changes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got like, you know, Walmart sells gas now.
Yeah, they do over here as well. They rebrand themselves over here, ASDA, A-S-D-A, but it's Walmart Group. So, yeah, they do the same over here. They tend to be a few pence, you know, a few cents less on the litre than somebody else. So, yeah, I guess it's like a knock-on effect that, you know, they can afford to undercut people. They even do tyres here. I got the car retired at Walmart. At ASDA Walmart, you know, part of the Walmart group. And I went around.
It's called ASDS.
Yeah, they were selling car tyres. So and they were the cheapest anywhere around. Everywhere I went to, I said, can you match this Walmart price? No, nobody could. So it was kind of, they're presumably undercutting somehow, whether actually loss leading or whatever, I don't know. But they certainly beat anybody else.
Hmm.
We've been taken over by a corporate world, really, you know, with a bigger and bigger suppliers. And
User left your channel. User left your channel. User in your channel timed out. User entered your channel.
Microphone activated.
It's been a great day on fakeologist.com, Friday the 2nd of October, but I will just say Friday the 1st of October because, you know, those Zeppos and those Canadians are a day behind. Here we go. Get a load of this.
When shit hits the fan, you want protection where it counts. That's why a team of ex-Delta Force commandos and BLM agents has developed a new product that will keep your payload contained, even in the most dire tactical situations. Duty Commando, adult tactical divers.
That's correct.
They'll be there for you when the bottom falls out.
Fuck.
Law enforcement, the BLM, the DEA, the U.S. Armed Forces, and the TSA count on
us.
And are now available to civilians in limited supplies. Duty Commando, adult, tactical, divers.
Folks, you probably noticed that I haven't been getting up to go to the bathroom as much. That I've been more focused. I've been more crazy. Doing more special reports. And that's because of Duty Commandos. Now, Duty Commandos are a super absorbent polymer and non-GMO cotton blend adult diaper. They're the best on the market. And you can find these and other game-changing products at InfoWarsStore.com today.
That's a direct order. Do it now.
Yeah, we'll try to take two on that. Okay, so it's been a great day today. Lots of audio chatters. Who was there? Psyopticon, Ab, lovely Lumberjack, and Vidir popped in for a little bit. So it's been a really good day on the audio chat. And Ab has asked me to play out with this little ditty and enjoy.
When shit hits the fan, you want protection where it counts. That's why a team of ex-Delta Force commandos and BLM agents has developed a new product that will keep your payload contained, even in the most dire tactical situations. Duty Commando, adult tactical divers.
That's correct.
They'll be there for you when the bottom falls out. Made with super absorbent polymer hydrogel and a bullet resistant Kevlar outer shell. They're the adult divers that the Secret Service, law enforcement, the BLM, the DEA, the U.S. Armed Forces, and the TSA count on. And are now available to civilians in limited supplies. Duty Commando, adult tactical divers.
Folks, you probably noticed that I haven't been getting up to go to the bathroom as much. That I've been more focused. I've been more crazy. I'm doing more special reports. And that's because of Duty Commandos. Now, Duty Commandos are a super absorbent polymer and non-GMO cotton blend adult diaper. They're the best on the market. And you can find these and other game-changing products at InfoWarsStore.com today.
That's a direct order. Do it now.
User disconnected from your channel.
Hi, this is Java Ring, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.